because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by and have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Steve Futterman, live in Palm Desert, California. A news conference is scheduled to take place here at this hour to announce details of the funeral for former President Gerald Ford. He died here last night. The plans are expected to include a state funeral in Washington next week and burial in Mr. Ford's hometown, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Reaction to Mr. Ford's death is coming from all parts of the country today. Correspondent Peter Mayer got reaction from outside the White House.
Gerald Ford always said he wanted to be remembered for closing the wounds of Watergate, and that's a common theme for people here looking up at the flag at half-staff in his memory.
He was trying to heal the country.
People had to come to a healing with that situation.
I think he was a healer, the right man for the time.
President Bush has ordered flags to remain at half-staff for 30 days to show public sorrow over the death of Gerald Ford.
And we also expect a memorial service to take place here at the Ford family's local church. I'm Steve Futterman, live in Palm Desert, California. Now with more CBS News, here's Harley Carnes.
Democrat John Edwards hasn't personally announced his candidacy yet. He makes his announcement in the morning. And he's one of the front-running trio for the nomination already, says political consultant Dottie Lynch.
Senator Edwards actually left some good feelings in the minds and hearts of Democrats, especially out in Iowa. He was leading the pack. Now he's tied with Barack Obama for first. But he starts off in pretty good position, although he has to face kind of two titans.
That would be John Edwards, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama at the front of the early pack. Now the federal judges have ordered the names of Major League Baseball players who tested positive for steroids handed over to the FBI. There's a sense of expectation in that investigation.
The Players Union sought to stop the government from getting this information, arguing that the entire testing program that year was supposed to be anonymous and confidential, and this violated the contract they had with baseball.
Lance Williams at the San Francisco Chronicle has been in hot water with the judge for a while now for keeping his sources secret in the Balco scandal story. Now, retail stores are not the only ones with post-holiday sales. Airlines do it, too. How about $109 round trip Chicago to San Diego? FareCompare.com CEO Rick Cini.
The cuts are drastic enough so that consumers are really going to get some good deals during that time.
Washington to Chicago and back, $49 on United, for example. United fare cuts were quickly matched by American, Delta, Northwest, U.S. Airways, and Continental. Good news for the economy, the housing market may be coming back.
This is excellent news. Housing has been a very heavy drag on the economy, and the only way to get it turned around is to get the sales stabilized and start to move up and then work down those inventories, and that seems to be in process.
Home sales up 3.4% in November. Dave Siders there at the National Association of Home Builders. Wall Street, new record. The Dow up 103 points to close at 12,510. NASDAQ gained more than 17 points in the day. This is CBS News.
Ready, everybody? Sammy, put down the rich chocolate Ovaltine hot. Okay, here comes the beep. Hi, you've reached the Connors. Beth.
Jerry.
And Samantha.
We can't get to the phone right now because
I want to finish my Ovaltine hot. It's the best hot chocolate in the whole wide world.
Sammy.
It has vitamins and stuff, but I just like the taste. Yummy, creamy, chocolatey, and
Sammy.
Ovaltine hot makes my belly feel all warm inside and
Sammy.
Oh, leave a message.
That went well.
More Ovaltine, please.
The following is a paid commercial message.
It's estimated that over 200 million people in the U.S. suffer from herpes-caused cold sores. There are many products on the market today. Relieve One-Day Cold Sores Symptom Treatment is excellent because it relieves cold sore symptoms in just a day. Pain eases in minutes, and other symptoms resolve in just 24 hours. Relieve is non-toxic, comprised of botanical extracts, and is 100% guaranteed. Millions of sufferers have found that Relieve works best for them. Only you can determine that Relieve is best for you. You can now buy Relieve at most major stores.
Did you know police departments will take the time to show you how to properly hook up your child safety seat some folks can't figure out how to get it done right can be a little bit complicated.
Effective with 2003 models, vehicle rear seats have an upper tether and two lower attachment points, which are supposed to be used to hook up child safety seats instead of the car's regular seat belts. But in a recent survey, 40% said they still use the regular belts, potentially less safe. So National Highway Traffic Safety Administrator Nicole Nason plans to bring manufacturers, retailers, and consumer activists together early in the new year to figure out how to make child safety seats even easier.
At CBS's John Harchie in Washington. Reverend Noah Casey says he walked into a church office to find a couple of youngsters, both in their teens, rummaging through the drawers in Indianapolis. The priest tackled one of the bandits, and though together they got away from him, police tracked them to a nearby hotel. The church's computer equipment and the cell phones in the room with them. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Thank you for calling for your risk-free trial of Proactive Solution.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can try Proactive Solution risk-free, and it'll make my acne disappear? Sounds a little too good to be true.
Oh, no catch. We're so sure Proactive will give you beautiful, healthy-looking skin that we're going to let you try it risk-free just to prove it.
Okay, but I've tried a lot of different things for acne before, and they always make my skin itchy and flaky.
Well, that's why Proactive uses soothing spa-quality botanicals along with prescription-grade acne medicine to heal, hydrate, and soothe your skin while eliminating bumps and redness. But there is one thing I didn't mention.
A catch, right?
We're also going to give you a free refining face mask with your risk-free trial.
Wow, it's free?
To get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Solution and free refining face mask, call 1-800-335-4191. You have beautiful skin under your acne. Let Proactive prove it. For your risk-free trial, call 1-800-335-4191. That's 1-800-335-4191.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 6 minutes past the hour. Wherever you happen to be, and whether you're listening to AM radio or the speakers on the back of your computer, or you download it as a podcast, I'm delighted you found the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the left coast.
God had a name. What would it be, and would you call it to his face if you were faced with him?
Joining us this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show is Dr. Robin Myers. He's a United Church of Christ minister. He is the pastor at the Mayflower Church in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And he's an outspoken activist for peace and justice. He writes for the Christian Century. He's a professor of rhetoric at Oklahoma City University. And earlier this year, he published a powerful book called Why the Christian Right is Wrong, a minister's manifesto for taking back your faith, your flag, your future. Robin Myers, always a pleasure. Welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks for having me back on, Peter. My pleasure.
Things have gotten a little bit better, and of course, not everything's gotten better since we last hooked up in July when you were on the West Coast for your book tour. Let's accentuate the positive for a moment. Were you surprised by the outcome of the midterm elections?
I was surprised by the extent to which the Democrats made gains. I knew they would win the House. I really had no way of knowing they would also take the Senate. I think most people were surprised by that. And I have some feelings about what this really means. I think it's a referendum against what was going on, not necessarily a great trust being placed in the Democrats, but I hope they can rise to the occasion. I think most Americans said the war is a disaster. I think that's the number one thing the election says, and that we need to figure out a way to bring our troops home. And I think the other thing it said was that the choreographing of reality, and you and I have talked about this, really sort of has to end. whether you are Mark Foley, you know, pretending to be straight instead of gay and then crusading against gays, or whether you're Ted Haggard out in Colorado Springs doing the same thing. A lot of Christian evangelicals in this country have sort of gotten shaken down, and they realize things are not as they appear to be, and hopefully all of us maybe grew up a little bit, and the election reflects that.
Just one note to what you just described. David Kuo has been on our program once, and we want to get him back. He was in the Office of Faith-Based Initiatives at the White House, and he's published a book that discloses just how cynical the administration was toward the evangelicals that it stroked and used and abused, and that so much of the rhetoric that was aimed at evangelicals was really empty.
That's exactly right. They got used. Their religious dispositions were exploited for political power. And then once the votes had been secured, I don't think this administration either cared a whole lot about following through on the promises or even cared a whole lot about them. In fact, if this book is even halfway accurate, they ridiculed members of the Christian right as sort of crazy, loony, goofy people. Well, you know, I disagree with the Christian right about a lot of things, but the personal insults are not necessary, and I think, again, this kind of unmasked what this administration was all about. They do what they need to do and have to do to win, and then once the religious rhetoric subsides after the election, they turn their attention to the real agenda. The real agenda is environmental deregulation, tax cuts for the wealthy, helping people who are already rich get richer, and I think the shine is off all of this, and I'm really encouraged by this, Peter. I think people sort of woke up to the extent to which they had been had.
Mm-hmm. To me, though, it's really fascinating. The most critical moral issue of the moment revolves around the U.S. posture toward torture and the so-called Military Commissions Act. And, Dr. Myers, we renamed it on our program in the spirit of healthy skies and clear forests or whatever that stuff's called, the Joe Stalin Torture, Detention, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006.
Right. Nice job.
And, you know, by sending it up that way, I don't want to trivialize the impact of this legislation. To me, it is barbaric. It lowers the standard, you know, for the United States to even below those of some of our enemies. It invites retribution on, again, a much lower moral level. And I just think it's fundamentally wrong. And it was interesting to me because there was so much analysis following the midterm elections, and it took the religion writer at the New York Times to note that nobody raised torture. Nobody talked about habeas corpus. Nobody talked about the rights of the accused, Democrat or Republican, during the midterm campaigns. It was a non-issue.
Yeah, and that just shows what a vindictive and vengeful country we've become. When we sort of accept the idea that certain things have to happen to certain people, we don't think it's going to happen to us. And we've forgotten what the American judicial system is all about. I've said on one of your previous programs that I never thought I would see the day when we would have a debate about whether or not we ought to torture people. Since that time, with the passage of this act, you or I or anyone out there that the president, who likes to call himself the decider, decides is an enemy combatant can be arrested, and we lose all of our habeas corpus rights. We don't get to have a lawyer. We don't get to see the evidence used against us to decide that we're an enemy combatant. Everything is thrown out the window. We can be sent someplace to be tortured, and it's very incredible, Peter. And why more people aren't rising up against this, I have no idea.
I mean, I'm encouraged that Senator Leahy has said that he wants to make significant changes. Senator Dodd has proposed specific legislation to return us to compliance with the Geneva Conventions, to extend habeas corpus rights to these detainees, and essentially to make the appropriate fixes to this draconian piece of legislation. But I don't hear much about it in the media, except on a program like this. And I just think that this really is an issue that we cannot be silent about.
I don't think people realize what has happened to them. And that's I really think that's a failure of the media, as you say, to get the message out there. I think this whole habeas corpus thing just strikes the man on the street as, well, it's Latin. I know it has something to do with the judicial system, but it doesn't really affect me. And the problem with creeping fascism is that by increments we accept the unacceptable until one day we wake up and we don't recognize the country we live in.
Indeed. And I share your concern. It's interesting. Since you published your book, we tracked down Lawrence Britt, who you cited as the source of, I think, 14 benchmarks of creeping fascism. And we had him on the program in late September or early October. And, Dr. Myers, it is just amazing how these terms that define fascism fit so accurately into our current picture.
Oh, they do. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And this summer, when I was traveling around the country doing speeches and book signings and interviews, I would read that list of 14 indicators that a country is going fascist. And at the end of the list, there was always a little gasp in the audience, because they recognized that all of them are evident and ascendant in the United States. Now, that's not to say we've become fascist, although with the Military Commissions Act, we're getting very close. But all the indicators are pointing us in that direction. And maybe the election will help to turn that tide in a new direction. I'm a pastor, Peter, so I'm professionally obligated to hope. And I'm trying to be hopeful. But it's going to take more than just mere optimism to get us where we need to go. We're going to have some tough, strong leaders who get up and stand for what's right.
We're talking with Dr. Robin Myers. His book, Why the Christian Right is Wrong. It's a powerful book. You should read it if you haven't already. And if you have a question or a comment for Dr. Myers, he's with us this entire hour. There's much more to talk about. Get on the line now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll-free 888-573-8372. And as we continue, we'll talk about Foley, we'll talk about Haggard, we'll talk about the future of evangelical politics in this country. I also want to talk more about creeping fascism. I think that's a very central point that Dr. Myers makes in his book. 888-5-PETER-B. Join the conversation now here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the best of Peter B. Collins, pre-recorded. Happy holidays from all of us at the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Just arrived. Carmel, a treasure. A first combination calendar, history book with souvenir maps, archiving Carmel today. Entirely rendered in watercolors by Lisa Bryan, this brilliant calendar and book combo captures the charm of Carmel. A special gift, now available at Lisa's studio in Court of the Fountains and other bookstores and gift shops in Carmel. For more information, call Lisa Bryant at 626-5435, 626-5435.
Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco. And my able producer is Matt Renner. We're taking your calls this hour with Dr. Robin Myers, the author of Why the Christian Right is Wrong. We got lines available if you'd like to join us. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And first up on the phone, it's Larry in Aptos. Hi, Larry. You're on the program.
Yeah, hi, Peter. I wanted to bring up a few things. First, I went to Catholic schools for 16 years of my life, so first grade all the way through college. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that there was a tradition with the Catholics, especially back in the early 60s, mid-60s. They were very pro-civil rights. Eventually, the Catholic hierarchy, they were against the Vietnam War. We know about the Berrigan brothers and so on. But in the recent past, it seems Catholics have kind of turned Republican and supported Bush. I think a lot of that might have been based on the abortion issue, even though I know I've seen a poll showing that the vast majority of American Catholics actually are pro-choice. You know, there might be some 30-35% of, you know, virulently anti-choice Catholics.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, so I wanted to bring that up, it's not just the evangelicals, but you have a core group of Catholics, too, that have seemed to have swung to the right, although I have heard in this past election that Catholics again kind of swung back to voting for Democrats. And the other thing is about Catholics and fascism. They have a history. The Catholic hierarchy has a history of supporting fascists. They supported Francisco Franco and the fascists during the Spanish Civil War. And in fact, a couple of years ago when the Pope John Paul, the one before this one,
mm-hmm.
He went over to Spain several years back and he made a few Spanish clergy that were killed during that time into saints. And I asked myself at that time, I wonder whose side they were on. Were they on the side of the Republicans, or were they side on the mm-hmm. of Francisco Franco's fascists?
Well, let's get a comment from Dr. Myers stipulating that he does not serve at the pleasure of the Vatican.
Okay, yeah, right. I know that.
Yes, let's just
good important disclaimer here. I'm as Protestant as they come, I guess. But I mean,
that's probably a good thing. Maybe.
Well, and Larry makes a very it's Larry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
makes a very good point in that all of us sort of lost our soul in the 60s and 70s. We were doing the legitimate work of the church, which was to care for people who are poor and disadvantaged and left out, and to try to help them and heal them and bring them into the mainstream. That's really when the church is being at its best. And then I think Catholics and Protestants alike got seduced by the idea of power. And as the sort of moral majority grew in this country and the anti-abortion movement was attached to that, I think Larry's exactly right when he identifies that particular issue. And all of a sudden we got seduced by the idea that we could change the world through political action instead of actually going out and doing ministry on behalf of people. And I think one of the things you now see in the latest election, one-third of Christian evangelicals voted Democratic. That is an astonishing statistic as compared with 2004. So I think what all of us are starting to remember is we can lose our way. We can lose our soul, and we need to get our soul back. And our soul is always to help the poor and try to liberate those who are oppressed.
And why is it that the religious power that was translated into politics was all around very hardline Old Testament values, Dr. Myers?
Well, because I think as George Lakoff says, the guy who wrote Don't Think of an Elephant,
mm-hmm.
the guy who's helping us Democrats to try to frame their issues better, Republicans had a strict father morality. And that was that you had to deal with your children in such a way that they learned what was right and wrong and they became responsible. And the way you knew that they had exercised self-discipline and were good kids is that they became prosperous. If they misbehaved or got out of line, you had to punish them. Spare the rod and spoil the child. That's the kind of Republican philosophy of life, and really it plays out in foreign policy as well. So the Old Testament has many more rules about what a God who's understood as a lawgiver and a judge hands down. Do good things, get rewarded by the strict father. But do bad things, you get punished by the strict father. Now, that's the view I think many Republicans have of the deity. So your view of God determines your politics to a great extent. As I've said before, Peter, nobody is calling for the eight Beatitudes to be carved in stone and put into the courthouse. They're much too kind and gentle and forgiving and compassionate. They're not nearly tough enough.
Mm-hmm. Xavier in Santa Cruz, join us with Dr. Myers here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, hi, Peter, and hi, Reverend.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I got to say, both my father and my mother were strict, so I don't know how well that holds up, but that's not what I called about.
All right.
I was raised Catholic, and I moved out here to the Left Coast and became very progressive and active. And I was a pagan for, well, I still am, I guess, a pagan. But one of the things I found is doing a lot of direct action and pirate radio and stuff. And I found that, you know, I'm speaking to the choir a lot. I found I could do more good by, now I work with a guy who's a priest in an Orthodox church. He's very good-hearted, but I don't consider him to be racist. He likes some people who are from the Middle East, but he's very bigoted towards people who are practicing Islam. And one of the things that I'm finding is that I try to impress upon him that we get kind of a Hatfields and McCoys type attitude where you go over there and you harm innocent people and take over their country, put yourself in their place, you're creating more enemies than that's not the way to solve it. And I find that if I'm able to go and talk to people who are outside of my realm, I think I'm doing a lot more good that way.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Myers?
You are. There's a chapter in my book called Terminal False Dichotomies, which is my way of explaining how Bush and company have divided up the world kind of like a big rhetorical watermelon. Just they slice it with a big machete, and the two halves roll each way. And on one half, you've got the good guys, and on the other half, you have the evildoers. And, of course, we all know life's not that simple. One of the things this country has to do is quit stereotyping Muslims. When suicide bombers blow themselves up in hope of going to heaven and deliberately kill innocent people. They violate the spirit of the Quran, which expressly forbids that, just as when Timothy McVeigh, I live in Oklahoma City, blew up the Murrah Federal Building in 1995 and killed 19 children and 160 adults. That's an evil act. Doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a Muslim. We can all violate the spirit of our own religious traditions.
We got to take a break. We'll continue with Dr. Robin Myers. Thank you for the call, Xavier. His book is Why the Christian Right is Wrong, and I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas. Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
When we think about same-sex marriage, it makes us sick to our guts.
I mean, two people who want to commit to a stable, monogamous, lifelong relationship, what are they, nuts? It's unnatural. Now, a man should not lie with a person who is a guy. He should only lie to his wife. The Bible is clear. We're defenders of marriage in three-button suits. We'll raise our double standard and see who salutes. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married.
One more, Roy.
Every time we think about same-sex parents, oh my gosh, we exclaim. I mean, to people who want to provide a protective and nurturing family environment, have they no shame? It's so deviant. The Lord's holy word, as my second wife said to my third, that a family's based on obligation and fear. We're defenders of marriage.
Yeah, the strict father.
Jovial narcs, ever vigilant and patriotic patriarchs. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married.
My favorite term in there is connubial narcs. That's Roy Zimmerman, and it's called Defenders of Marriage off his new CD called Faulty Intelligence. And Roy dropped by with a stack of them. We're going to give one away in the Free Speech Zone next hour. And if you missed our hour with him last week, we're going to repeat it for you on Thanksgiving Day. So just tune in to the Peter B. Collins Show, and we'll have some fun with Roy Zimmerman's music. Dr. Robin Myers is with us. His book, Why the Christian Right is Wrong, came out earlier this year. It's subtitled A Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, Your Future. And what is your take, Dr. Myers, on what appears to be a wedge that has lost its edge? Because we have listeners now in Phoenix, Arizona, who have pointed out to us that that ballot measure failed for reasons beyond just the battle between evangelicals and seculars. But it was an affirming moment to finally see one of these divisive issues voted down.
Well, again, I think the country has grown up just a little bit on this issue and realized the extent to which they've been duped. I don't know that everyone suddenly became defenders of gay marriage. I doubt that. I know that's not the case. But the threat that gay marriage reputedly poses to straight marriage has been sort of exposed as non-existent. I mean, what is the threat? If you go out and ask somebody on the street to tell you exactly what that threat is, it's a threat nobody can find or describe. Then on top of that, you have a couple of high-profile anti-gay crusaders who, in fact, turn out to be gay. So what Mark Foley is out, you know, trying to pretend that he's straight and has his picture taken with beautiful women, and because you can't be a Republican and be gay. And that's the problem, Peter. It's not nice to fool with Mother Nature. If Mark Foley could have been what he is, he would have had a stable life. The fact is, the more denial, the more dysfunction. So he has to pretend that he's something he's not, which forces underground his sexuality, and then it mutates in all kinds of unhealthy ways. And he's out there passing legislation to protect underage teenagers from sexual predators, and he is, in fact, a sexual predator. That kind of rocked the evangelical world, but even more so was Ted Haggard, because Ted Haggard was a pastor, not a politician, who, after all, you know, we put them in a special category. Pastors have an inordinate amount of power among the Christian right. He's got one of the biggest churches in the world, and he had demonized gay people, and he'd used the demonization of gay people to accrue tremendous power, and then it turns out he's paying a male prostitute in Denver to have sex with him. And I think all of a sudden people realized, you know what, it is not a good thing for us to go on kidding ourselves about human sexuality. We need to talk about it frankly and honestly, and we need to do that in the church.
And Dr. Myers, help me out here, because I do not for a moment revel in the misdeeds of Ted Haggard, and I don't judge him because I have sinned at least once myself.
at least once.
But I'm interested not in trying to exploit his failings any further, but only to try to use him as an example of rank hypocrisy in an effort to prevent that from occurring more and more.
Well, when Jesus railed against the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees, he was not railing against the scribes and Pharisees. He was railing against their hypocrisy, that they wore their religion on their sleeve, they judged other people, when in fact they did not have good hearts themselves. Ted Haggard's gone through a terrible experience. He's lost his church. His family, I'm sure, is in turmoil. He's a broken man. And it's interesting that one of my colleagues, who's a UCC pastor, wrote a column and said, Ted Haggard is now welcome in our church, the United Church of Christ, because we have always been gay-friendly, open to gays and lesbians, so that he could come into our church not as a pretender, but as what he really is, which is a gay man. Then we will accept him and call him valuable and welcome him to the communion table, and he will be a happier, healthier human being. And then if he wants to form a long-term relationship with a gay man instead of paying for sex secretly, then we will validate that decision and celebrate it. And tell me, Peter, that's not a move forward for everybody.
Well, that's... you're living the message of Jesus Christ.
I hope so. I'm trying. It's such a radical message that sometimes even I fall short because I have my own prejudices and biases. But in my church in Oklahoma, your listeners might be astonished to hear this, we voted unanimously to be a church that welcomed gay people. And I have performed, 9 or 10 holy unions. We can't call them marriages in Oklahoma because, of course, the state won't recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
I've done 300 or 400 straight marriages and 9 or 10 gay marriages. The world has not fallen apart. The gay people whom I married were trying to do what the church believes people should do, which is form sacred covenants with one another, take care of each other, grow old together. It's an adventure. It doesn't work out every time. And the greatest threat to marriage is, of course, people who don't take it seriously. We know that. The song you just played highlights that. My third or fourth wife tells me. Peter, we have been so swamped with lies. We've been lied to for so long that all of a sudden, in fact, the boy who cried wolf, the last election was the rumblings of an American body politic that sort of opened its eyes and blinked a couple of times and said, geez, things are not the way we've been told they are. The war is not going well, and it isn't going to go well. The debt's getting bigger, and my kids are going to pay the debt. Global warming is real, and this president's not going to do a damn thing about it. All of a sudden, people woke up. I'm encouraged by that. And in no area more so than in our treatment of gays and lesbians, treating them equally, making sure they're not discriminated against, and helping them form long-term relationships is good for them because they're human beings and we ought to care about them.
Dr. Robin Myers here on the Peter B. Collins Show. John joins us from Carmel Valley. Thanks for holding, John. You're on the air.
Religion is my chief interest, even beyond politics, and I am despairing because I don't even know where to begin in my questions. You covered just now the hypocrisy of both Haggard and Foley, which was probably, I guess, their biggest sin. And it didn't surprise me because I, all during the 70s, was in the religious right, not quite a card-carrying member, but almost. It was before they ever got politicized. And I got to know by that period some of the characteristics they're showing now as they are so politicized. And I'd like to ask you, since I don't think they, or even the rest of society, if you asked 100 people, just picked at random, I'm guessing that far less than 50 out of that 100 could correctly define what hypocrisy is. I have never heard a sermon on it, and I was a Catholic. Gee, we're getting a lot of Catholics, both ex and current, or maybe they've all been ex so far. I am an ex-Catholic. I never heard in the first 31 years of my life when I attended Mass almost every Sunday of those 31 years, I never heard a sermon on hypocrisy. I never heard it later when I became a member, the only time I joined a church, a Protestant one. Never heard a sermon on it there.
Well,
I have never heard a sermon on it ever.
John, as a recovering Catholic myself, I would just offer that perhaps they didn't want you to be armed with a term like that because you might apply it to them.
That's right. This can all hit a little too close to home sometimes for the clergy, and it's odd that you would never hear a sermon about it when if you just go through your New Testament again, read everything in red letters, you'll see an extraordinary amount of anger on the part of Jesus reserved for people who pretend to be something that they are not.
His strongest anger, the
That's
words
right.
he uses, not just whited sepulchers, but all kinds of, I mean, he was just seething with anger in those dialogues he has, that I think the Catholic Church still has those. Aren't they in the Gospel of Matthew? And the Catholic Church, I think, still reads those passages. You hear them from the altar, the only time I have, and they are scathing dialogues, and I think that's the reason Easter, despite the resurrection and how important, and you would think, abiding the doctrine of the resurrection is what keeps people making it still just a one-day event rather than Christmas, now a three-month event, is because not just the death on the cross, but it's those dialogues that Jesus has with the Pharisees about hypocrisy. We just don't like hearing that.
Well, we are much more interested in worshiping Christ as a kind of alien being who came to earth, has done his work to save us, and gone back from whence he came, than we are interested in following a teacher of wisdom, and very subversive wisdom at that. One of my biggest missions in my own ministry is to remind people that we're supposed to be following Jesus. We're not supposed to be worshiping Christ. He did not want fans. He wanted disciples.
John, I wish we had more time. I can tell you're passionate about this, but I need to move along. Thank you for your call today. Dr. Myers, is there a website where people can read some of your commentaries that get published in your local paper?
Yeah, okgazette.com. I write for the Oklahoma Gazette, and those columns are all posted online at okgazette.com. Then our church website is mayflowerucc.org.
Okay, great. We're going to take a quick break and return with Dr. Robin Myers. We'll take more of your phone calls. 888-5 Peter B is my toll-free number. And his book, you got to read it, Why the Christian Right is Wrong, A Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, Your Future. Dr. Robin Myers, our guest here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the best of Peter B. Collins, pre-recorded. Happy holidays from all of us at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
In Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that pagan and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you helped us have.
I totally concur. And the problem is we've adopted that agenda at the highest levels of our government. And so
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. And I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
That would be me in the corner, yeah. Right. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and our guest is Dr. Robin Myers.
Oh, life, it's bigger than you, and you are not me. The things that I will go to, the distance in your eyes. Oh no, I've said too much. I set it up. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spot.
We'll take more of your calls in a moment. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number if you'd like to join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Dr. Myers, I wanted to ask you to weigh in on something that I brought up earlier today on the program, and it has to do with the balance of political interests and the loss of life in Iraq. And I'll offer just two examples. Bush knew he was going to sack Donald Rumsfeld sometime before the midterm elections. He flat out lied and then rationalized the lie to the press when confronted a week later because he said that he had confidence in Rumsfeld and he'd be there till the end of the term. Secondly, today, based on an interview that was broadcast in London over the weekend, we have quotes from Dr. Henry Kissinger, who presided over our debacle in Vietnam, and who we were surprised to learn a few months ago is a key private advisor to Bush on the war in Iraq. And he now says that, a military victory in Iraq is not possible. Now, he knew that before the midterm elections. And just to narrow it, we lost 106 Americans during October alone, and thousands of Iraqis died. And now we're going to adjust our policy because it's safe. It's after the midterm election. But the cynical determination that those individuals made to keep silent as Americans died every day is something that I have a real problem with.
Well, and especially when you are keeping yourself busy calling other people evil, and you are in fact doing yourself what is politically expedient. It reminds me a little bit of Robert McNamara back in the 60s. He knew the Vietnam War could not be won, and we didn't find that out till a long time afterwards.
Yeah.
Politicians who do what is politically expedient at the cost of human life, if that isn't evil, then I don't understand the definition.
So how do we deal with it?
Well, I mean, I think we all wake up to the fact that we have been lied to compulsively and pathologically. I mean, we are dealing here with a lying machine, and it happens again and again and again. And so at some point, you have to simply rise up and say, I'm sorry, I've lost all trust in this administration. I don't believe anything they say. I don't think they value human life, no matter how often they talk about being pro-life. We don't even count Iraqi dead. We don't count them because they don't count. And this we do in the name of Jesus. It's an extraordinary time we live in, Peter. Things are upside down. I wrote the book because I simply wanted people to wake up, look around, sort of in the biblical terms, have the scales fall from their eyes, because we are in dangerous, dangerous times right now. I mean, the future of the whole planet, the whole human race, hangs in the balance. We need to be able to trust our leaders and think of them as truly magnanimous human beings, not people who simply do what they need to do to hold on to power.
Brian in Mesa, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Dr. Robin Myers.
Hi, Peter.
Hello, Brian.
I appreciate you taking my call. Dr. Myers, I'm not really very smart in theology or politics or civics, but I have noticed a trend, and maybe you've heard this term before, but catalyzation. It just seems like we're catalyzed, you know, in the marketplace, at work, when we go to the post office, whenever we buy or sell. And the church used to be a refuge from that. And now we've got these mega churches where you're herded in, they give you a perfunctory message, and then you're herded out, and then the custodians come in, they clean up, and they get in for the next shift. And it just seems, you know, I used to go to a small congregation, and I knew the pastor personally. He wasn't very charismatic, but I always got his sermon, and I appreciated it. I didn't feel like I was a customer. I felt like a part of the congregation.
Well, that's an interesting metaphor that you're using there. And, Dr. Myers, these mega churches are like mega malls.
Well, they are. They've, instead of standing over against culture to critique what's wrong with it and try to transform human beings and make them better, we've simply bought into the consumer culture. And our churches look like malls. There are no discernible religious figures in them, just a big stage, an orchestra pit. A minister walks around with a wireless mic and entertains us. You can have all this in Jesus, too. It's called prosperity theology, and it's rampant in this country. So even though Jesus talked about the hazards of wealth, the spiritually debilitating hazards of wealth, the church has now given itself over to helping us all get rich. Now, these things are incompatible. So Brian is absolutely right. Somewhere along the line, I don't know this term catalyzing that he used, but somewhere along the line, we lost the distinction the church is supposed to have as it stands over against our culture to warn us about things that are not good for us. We simply bought into religion as one more consumer product and a church service as one more form of entertainment.
Brian, thanks for the call today. Now to Deborah in Phoenix. Hello, Deborah. You're on the air.
Hi. First of all, the hypocrisy of the right and of the Bush administration just makes me so angry. But I even have a greater emotion, and that's of this overwhelming sadness of what my country has done to hundreds of thousands of innocent Iraqis. And being a man of the cloth, you know what forgiveness means in the Christian doctrine. I just have to wonder, what can we do or ever do to feel a sense of forgiveness? You know, Iraq is such a dangerous part of the world and probably will be for at least Americans for a long time. How can we... I think as a nation, we are going to start feeling, if we don't already, this tremendous sense of guilt.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a component of forgiveness in the Muslim religion, but I just have to ask myself, what can we possibly do?
Well, the big problem, of course, with forgiveness, and we, as people in the church have struggled with this for 2,000 years, is if we forgive the sin, have we condoned the sin? Do we get a little bit of it on us, if you will? I think it's interesting, Deborah, that you, as a woman, are able to share the emotion of sadness so readily. I feel it. I wish more people would feel it, because if we confronted what it is that we've done in this war, which is
right.
to kill hundreds of thousands of people, many
right.
of them innocent civilians, if we don't feel sadness about that, if literally we can't cry about that...
Then we're all responsible.
We are all responsible. And it's not a question of, do we forgive the president now? What we do now is stand up for what's right. And then at some personal level, our faith may compel us to forgive him. That doesn't mean we condone what
oh,
he's
right,
done.
Right.
Deborah, thank you for the call. I want to squeeze in one more. It's Ruth in Phoenix. Go ahead, Ruth. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Peter. This is my first time calling.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. I wanted to make a comment on Mr. Myers' comment earlier when he talked about the religion being seduced by power.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the religions are being seduced by money through interfaith groups and through the money that the government is giving them. I worked for Catholic Social Services and Lutheran Social Ministries, and it's not just the Catholics. They receive millions and millions of dollars from the government. Most of them would have to close their doors without having the money that they're getting.
Let me get a quick comment, 30 seconds, Dr. Myers.
Well, that's why I support the separation of church and state and oppose faith-based initiatives. We should never be handing government money to private religious organizations because all kinds of corruption follows, and that's simply one more form of power, Ruth, that the money itself is a form of power. We're on the wrong track. We need to pull back from faith-based initiatives.
Ruth, thank you for that call. And Dr. Myers, thank you for a powerful hour. It's always inspiring to talk with you. And we'll talk again soon. The new book is Why the Christian Right is Wrong, a Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, Your Future. We've been talking with Dr. Robin Myers, M-E-Y-E-R-S. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. We go into the free speech zone next. Call me at 888-5-PETER-B.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The death of the nation's 38th president, unelected and crucial to the nation's healing.
I would hope that my history will be written that we healed the country.
And if you're planning some after the holidays travel, you're in luck.
Consumers are really going to get some good deals.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Cammy McCormick. Funeral plans are in the works for former President Gerald Ford, who died yesterday. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller begins our coverage in Crawford, Texas.
6 days of ceremonies and services begin Friday at a church in Palm Desert, California. The casket bearing the late president's remains will arrive at the U.S. Capitol in Washington on Saturday afternoon, and a state funeral service will be conducted in the Capitol Rotunda. The body will lie in state for 2 days, and members of the public will be allowed to pay their last respects. There's another funeral service at the National Cathedral on Tuesday, after which the body is taken to the Ford Presidential Museum in Grand Rapids, Michigan, for interment on Wednesday.
President Ford once declared, "Our long nightmare is over," as he replaced Richard Nixon and then made a controversial decision.
By these presents do grant a full, free, and absolute pardon unto Richard Nixon.
All these years later, many Americans now agree with that decision.
I'm Peter Mayer outside the White House. Gerald Ford always said he wanted to be remembered for closing the wounds of Watergate. And that's a common theme for people here looking up at the flag at half-staff in his memory.
He was trying to heal the country.
People had to come to a healing with that situation.
I think he was a healer, the right man for the time.
President Bush has ordered flags to remain at half-staff for 30 days to show public sorrow over the death of Gerald Ford. Peter Mayer, CBS News, outside the White House.
Now this.
Hello, I'm George. Every year about this time, my wife gets concerned about my rowdy and crazy behavior. I can't help it. Happy Honda Days gets me all giggly and rambunctious. Hurry to your Honda dealer today and get an awesome deal on the 8-passenger Pilot, the ultra-functional Element, or the innovative Ridgeline. Yeah, baby. Happy Honda Days. It's going off, dude. Seriously.
Deck the halls with
bows of Halsey.
Ah, the sounds of TomTom portable navigation devices singing in sweet harmony. And now through the holiday season, if you buy any TomTom, you get $100 off.
$100 off.
It's the TomTom Give event. You give a TomTom, we give you $100 off any model at any retailer. So give the best portable everyday GPS solution. Heck, give two. TomTom, find your way the easy way.
$100 off.
Former Democratic vice presidential nominee John Edwards says he's running for president for a second time. He plans to formally announce tomorrow in New Orleans. CBS News political consultant Dottie Lynch.
Senator Edwards actually left some good feelings in the minds and hearts of Democrats, especially out in Iowa. He was leading the pack. Now he's tied with Barack Obama for first. But he starts off in pretty good position, although he has to face kind of two titans.
The other being Senator Hillary Clinton, who has not said whether she'll run. When will Saddam Hussein be executed? Iraqi law states within 30 days, and the Iraqis may not wait that long. Vanderbilt professor Mike Newton has been advising the Iraqi High Tribunal.
I told the Iraqis that in Western countries, there's often a decade that goes by before sentences imposed while appeals are done. They actually thought that that was cruel and unusual punishment.
The only possible complication, the death warrant, requires the signature of the Iraqi president. But President Talabani may be seeking an alternative to signing.
And that would actually surprise me, because in the past he's been very clear that though he personally opposes capital sentences, that he sees it as a part of his official duties.
Putin says there is no Iraqi law to deal with that possibility. A federal appeals court has now ruled that the federal government, as part of its steroids investigation, can use names and urine samples of 100 Major League Baseball players who tested positive for performance-enhancing drug 3 years ago. Players were told at the time the results would be confidential, but the tests were later seized and a lengthy court battle began. The post-holiday airfare sales have begun with some big savings for flyers. United, Delta, American, Continental, U.S. Airways, and Northwest, all offering 14-day advance purchase bargains.
The fare sale has an average savings of anywhere from 25 up to around 55%, depending on which city pair you're looking at. So it's pretty significant savings, and some of them actually, I'm actually looking at these now, are up to 60% savings.
Fair Compares, Rick Cini. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Tax saving tip for business owners. Consult your tax advisor to learn if your company can get a tax break when you buy an HP LaserJet printer before December 31st. It's a good time to upgrade your LaserJet printers to increase office productivity. The new LaserJets are up to twice as fast as they were 3 years ago and let you start printing almost instantly. So there's less waiting around. Black and white HP LaserJets start at $129. HP LaserJet printers, the reliable workhorse printers for business.
Estimate U.S. retail price. Actual prices may vary.
Deck the halls with boughs of
Halsey. Ah, the sounds of TomTom portable navigation devices singing in sweet harmony. And now through the holiday season, if you buy any TomTom, you get $100 off.
$100 off.
It's the TomTom Give event. You give a TomTom, we give you $100 off any model at any retailer. So give the best portable everyday GPS solution. Heck, give two. TomTom, find your way the easy way.
$100 off.
The world's...
So, what do you say we launch another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show?
Let's do it.
All right, Tone, with your approval. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. And this hour, we're going to talk about global warming, climate change, if you prefer, and whether we have reached one of the identified tipping points in the process of the warming of our Earth. Julia Whitty is a journalist who has penned a powerful piece in the current issue of Mother Jones magazine called The 13th Tipping Point, and she joins us this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hello, Julia.
Hi, Peter.
Nice to talk with you.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. There's a lot to talk about here. First up, I wanted to get your take on the recent conference in Nairobi, Kenya, or Kenya, depending on whether you've got a British influence on your pronunciation. It was an international gathering, and Kofi Annan, the outgoing head of the United Nations, issued an impassioned plea that particularly poorer nations are bearing the brunt of climate change without having contributed that much to the causes. Tell me your take on this conference and if any progress will surface from it.
Well, it never hurts, excuse me, to have people continuing to talk about this and getting together and pooling expertise, pooling knowledge, and pooling ideas. So from that point of view, yes. But in all honesty, until the United States signs on board any of this stuff, nothing much is going to happen. You have, you know, in the U.S., we're 5% of the world's population. We contribute 25% of the carbon footprint on planet Earth. And as long as we're doing nothing about it, it doesn't matter what the goodwill of other countries is. Not much is going to come of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd also like to point out that in terms of thinking that people in poorer nations are most affected by global climate change, this may seem to be true, but it's a real error in judgment on our parts. These problems are coming to our neighborhoods, too, and we're really mistaken if we think otherwise.
Well, there's a great deal of denial on the part of Americans who imagine that, some silver bullet will be developed, either that technology will fix the problem, or that, the people who are sounding the alarm about this are, in fact, alarmists, and that, like so many warnings that we've heard about the end of the world or other cataclysms, that this, too, shall pass.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting, a report that came out, a study about a week ago, that said that for the first time, Americans polled actually registered global warming as the number one environmental issue on their agenda. This was just before the elections. And that's a first. Before that, other things like pollution and, you know, air quality, water quality were ahead of global warming. So it does show that people are starting to recognize that this is a really big problem. I think people are overwhelmed by it. They don't really understand the science of it. The media isn't doing a very good job on reporting it to them to help them out. There is this secret hope for the silver bullet, and the truth is we are the silver bullet. That's the point I make in the article.
Well, and to try to put a frame around it, Sir Nicholas Stern, a British economist, has published a report that I think will get attention even among some neocons, because it talks about the dire economic impact on the developed nations if global warming develops as is projected.
Absolutely. And I mean, I've often wondered when our president says that we can't afford to sign the Kyoto Protocol because we can't afford the economic sacrifices that go along with it. I have to question, how does he think we're going to afford the monumental changes that are coming on planet Earth? These are going to have huge consequences, as the Stern report points out. And this is some of the stuff I'm talking about that's coming to our neighborhood. In a way, Hurricane Katrina was a preview of the kind of thing that's coming our way. The wildfires out west that are growing in number, duration, and intensity every season. Those are previews of what's coming our way.
Mm-hmm. And the Stern report in broad strokes projects that a business-as-usual approach to climate change could cost up to 20% of gross domestic product globally. And although that number may be exaggerated, a 20% hit in the developed world is arguably absorbable. But that same 20% decline in economic output in a country such as the host nation of Kenya would be disastrous. Those are comments from Joe Nation. He's a California assemblyman who is termed out, and he paid his own way to Nairobi to observe that conference and published his comments in the San Francisco Chronicle.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that we are not yet catching on to how important this issue really is. I mean, I talk in the article in Mother Jones about this is the real threat to homeland security. The United Nations has estimates that since the year 2000, about 160,000 people around the world have died every year from global warming, from changes in their own neighborhoods that have come about as a result of global warming. For instance, in the year 2005, we in the United States spent $100 billion fighting terrorism. The same year, 56 Americans died. So you have to question where our priorities are, what we're sinking our money into, when in fact, you know, the real threat to homeland security, to our future, our children's future, our grandchildren's future, is the climate of this planet.
Mm-hmm. And we see people who remain in deep denial. Today, a story was published by Reuters, an interview with James Inhofe, the Republican who is giving up control of the Environment Committee in the Senate. He's this Oklahoma Republican, and he says that the meeting in Kenya was a brainwashing session, and the idea that the science on global warming is settled is altogether wrong. Are those not just the talking points of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, the what I consider to be a phony think tank funded by all the oil and natural resources companies?
That is pretty much, in my opinion, too. That's all that is. And, in fact, there was a certain amount of debate 12 or 15 years ago in the scientific community. It's pretty much gone. The vast majority of scientists of every stripe have signed on to the recognition, the realization that these man-made changes in our environment are affecting our climate and affecting our future. And in fact, as I point out in this and other articles I've written, never before in the history of humankind has so much energy been poured into studying the effects of our activities on planet Earth. I mean, it's a monumental and unparalleled look at what we know about our planet, and everything that's coming at us is bad news.
Mm-hmm. And so how do we deal with these people who are in that form of, I guess, paid denial?
Yeah, well, you know, we've had the same issue with the tobacco company for all these years, right? The tobacco companies have had their scientists, they've bought them and owned them, they've trotted them out at news conferences, and eventually the media learned to ignore them. You know, these guys don't actually deserve the microphone. What they're talking is basically rubbish, and most of the rest of the scientific community will agree with that. In the rest of the science community, they sure don't give those guys the microphone, let me put it that way. And we need to stop giving those guys the microphone, too. All it does is confuse people more than they need to be confused when the issues are really quite clear-cut. We don't know exactly how many degrees of warming are going to happen, but as I keep saying, we're on a canoe, we're headed for a waterfall. Do you just keep going until you figure out that it's a 15-foot or a 50-foot drop, or do you pull over and reassess the situation? Obviously, that's what you want to do.
Yeah. We're talking with Julia Witte here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and she's with us this entire hour. If you have a question or comment about global warming, about our response to this challenge, about the way, in particular, the Bush administration has fuzzied up the issue as much as they can, tried to act as if there is confusion, lack of consensus, and that therefore it would be, you know, wrong for them to go forward on any corrective path because, of course, the science isn't settled. And if you believe that, my homework assignment for you is to go out and rent the DVD of the film Thank You for Smoking, which came out earlier this year, and did a great job of showing us how the tobacco industry, the booze industry, and the gun lobby have these lobbyists and promoters who are shameless in the way they'll say almost anything to advance their economic interests. And I think it's a study that really applies to this area as well, because the naysayers on climate change are most often people who have a vested interest in the industries that will benefit from slowing down any approach to solving these problems. As we continue, I'm going to ask Julia Witte to describe the scene when she got to witness one of the greatest sex shows on Earth. And we'll find out how that connects to climate change. And again, if you have a question or comment, you're welcome to call the program this hour at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. We'll continue in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the best of Peter B. Collins, pre-recorded. Happy holidays from all of us at the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Deborah Lindsay with Tomorrow Matters on KRXA 540 AM, wishing you a safe holiday season and encouraging you to make earth-friendly choices for your celebrations. Join me each Sunday at 2 to match global problems of today with local solutions for a better tomorrow. Remember, the greatest gift we can give is a healthy planet. Tomorrow Matters, right here on KRXA 540 AM, every Sunday at 2.
Let's take a look at your drive home in and around the Monterey Bay Area. It is brought to you this time around by Sleep Train, your ticket to a better night's sleep. Hurry in to treat Sleep Train today and save 20 to 50% off select clearance mattress sets while supplies last. Stop in today and save big. Sleep Train is your better night's sleep. Let's take a look at those roadways. Not too bad on the highways, however, in Boulder Creek, Mitchell Drive at Highway 9, fallen power cables here, right shoulder. That started a fire, so the fire department's on the way. In Gilroy, leaves Road at New Avenue. A big rig here is stuck in the mud and blocking lanes of traffic. A big rig tow truck will have to head out. In Ben Lomond, Highway 9, right at Glen Arbor Road, traffic lights are out there as well, so treat that as a four-way stop sign. Soquel, Main Street, right at Soquel Drive, a vehicle here and a pedestrian mixing it up. I'm not saying major injuries, that's good news, but emergency crews are going to head out anyway. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
We're talking about global warming.
Well, there's a little something that's been freaking me. I read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming. It seems our indispensable amenities, like hairspray, air conditioners, and SUVs, are causing big emissions, all of which are forming. A spooky little thing called global warming. Fluorofluorocarbon strip away ozone. They can't seem to leave the rainforest alone. Our temperatures are rising and they've now deduced the vampires of progress have come under rules. Well, I always drive the freeway in a bulletproof vest. A fiber in my diet and a blood pressure test. But this one is a doozy which required forewarning. A spooky little thing called global warming.
That's my pal Dr. Elmo. He's doing for Halloween what he did for Christmas with that grandma song. That's from a CD called Dr. Elmo Sings the Booze, and it's called Global Warming. We're talking with Julia Witte. She's a contributing writer for Mother Jones, a powerful piece called The 13th Tipping Point in the current issue of Mother Jones magazine. You might be able to find it at motherjones.com as well. And she's the author of a book due out next year called The Fragile Edge, Diving and Other Adventures in the South Pacific. And Julia, you made me jealous when you opened up this article with a diving scene at the Great Barrier Reef. I'm a scuba diver, but have not made it to dive there in Australia. And tell us about the significance of this dive, the sexual activity that you observed, and its connection to climate change on the planet.
Well,
thanks, Peter. I was actually working filming at the time, and we were trying to get the spawning of the corals. And some of your listeners may know that many of the corals spawn simultaneously on one night of the year. And it's a mystery exactly what night this is going to be. It happens at a certain time in the spring around the new moon, but never, no one knows for sure when. The point I used with this in the article is that the ability of these little miniature animals that really meet all our criteria for zero intelligence, corals, manage to coordinate and their activities to ensure that they have a future, and they do this by all spawning together on the first night. And as I point out, if some coral doesn't spawn on that same night, that coral will live out its natural life term most likely, but it will have no children. And if its entire species did that, then its species would have no future. So the ability of even these seemingly unintelligent creatures to coordinate for their own survival, and I question whether we're able to do that now or whether we're doing it adequately enough based on what we know currently about changes that are underway on the planet right now.
Tell us about John Schellenhuber, who is a science advisor at the Tyndall Center for Climate Change, and how he compiled the 12 global warming tipping points that are the focus of your article.
Well, he and other scientists came together trying to get a handle on what were the big mechanisms, the big levers in climate science, and the connectedness between biology and climate, and what are the ones that if any one of these delicately balanced systems tips out of balance, will likely set off a cascade of reactions around the planet. And I think they were really attempting to use these 12 tipping points to get out to the public and to say, look, our planet is connected in the most complex and fascinating and delicate ways, and by monkeying with even one little part of it, we're likely to set off big, big changes across the whole fabric of Earth. So, and, you know, the message got out to some extent. He's a guy working in Britain, and I think to some extent that message got out in Europe, but it really didn't hit home here in the U.S. That's part of what I wanted to do, was look at these 12 tipping points. I said to people, if there were 12 asteroids on known collision courses with planet Earth, do you think we wouldn't know their names and their arrival dates? We would all know that stuff, and yet we do not know these 12 asteroids and climate change that are basically headed our way right now. We don't even know what they are. So I outline the 12 in the article, and then I go on to ask the question. The premise of the article is, what will it take for the 13th tipping point? This is what I've added. The tipping point that will enable us to move from personal denial to personal responsibility in our actions towards these climate change issues.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a call. Drew is on the line from Monterey. Thanks for calling, Drew. You're on with Peter B. and Julia Whitty.
Hey, guys. I appreciate you taking my call. I just wanted to say I understand this war on terrorism isn't exactly popular right now, but your guest just made the comment that we're spending, you know, billions of dollars fighting terrorism, and that money should be spent fighting global warming. And she used Katrina as, you know, she said that's kind of a preface to what we have coming our way. I'm wondering, do you know how many people died during Katrina? It was under 1,000 people, right?
No, it was more than that.
Yeah, it was more than that, and there were at least 400 or 500 people found well after the events.
Yeah, I think it's...
How many people died during September 11th?
Around 3,000.
Correct. What do you think is the more imminent threat?
Well, first of all, imminent, I think, is the word you're looking for. Secondly, I think that in some ways we have to take a long-term view and say, well, we could snuff out the terror threats against the United States and still have the planet decline or, you know, perhaps become unlivable in, you know, one or two generations.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure that you can say that, you know, one is more important than the other. I think the point Julia wanted to make, and I'll let her explain it herself here in a sec, was that we've got to put global warming on a higher priority footing. Julia?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, we don't want to ignore honest-to-goodness terrorism threats that are out there. That wouldn't be smart. Neither is ignoring these issues smart. In fact, you might say that it's really dumb that we are not paying more attention and pouring more of our energy and resources into these huge problems coming our way.
And Drew, I would argue that the $100 billion or so that we have spent on, I hate that word, homeland, on securing our borders and our cities.
Excuse me, Peter, I don't mean to interrupt, but it's more squandered than spent, I think, that money.
You just made my point. Thank you.
Yeah. You see, and so, you know, I mean, I'm trying to look at both sides of the aisle, but, you know, I also understand that this planet has gone through changes that we can't even fathom because our knowledge of our planet, you know, and recorded history is just a spit in the ocean, so to speak, for lack of a more pleasant term. But you know what? The reason I would like to see our carbon footprint drop is just because when I go to L.A., I'd like to breathe some clean air. You know, simple things like clean water and clean air, I think that'll help the quality of life. So, of course, this research is highly necessary. And I appreciate you guys taking my call.
But still, Drew, in saying that, you seem unimpressed by the threat posed by climate change.
Yeah, I kind of am. You know, I honestly, personally don't buy it because, you know, I know that the North Pole used to be the South Pole, and the South Pole used to be the North Pole. You know, our planet has gone through so many drastic changes.
All right, and one more question.
Still survive.
Drew, what kind of cheese is the moon made of?
What kind of cheese? I hope it's Swiss. Take care.
All right. Some people know more about science than others, and that's why we asked Julia Witte on the program today. Julia, we're going to take a break and return and talk more about the tipping points, including your idea about the 13th tipping point related to global warming. And we'll take more calls, too. Join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA. Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Those six historic words. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. On August 9, 1974, when Gerald Ford stood up in the East Room as the new president and said, "Our long national nightmare is over," it was no exaggeration. We'd gone from Vietnam to Watergate, one bad dream after another. The first thing Ford had to do in the Oval Office was remove Richard Nixon's hidden microphones from the desk. President Nixon's casual attitude towards stuff like, laws, had Americans demanding regime change even though the next election was more than 2 years away. And Gerald Ford was the anti-Nixon, sort of like Jimmy Stewart with shoulders. He came across as honest, bordering on naive, and everybody liked him because he didn't play revenge politics. As Republican leader in the House, it was his job to get votes, but he wouldn't threaten people to get them. You could say he was a uniter, not a divider. And that's why, the month after he took office, he pardoned Richard Nixon, said the nation needed healing, not a trial. And just like that, the honeymoon was over. He was accused of cutting a deal, the Oval Office, in exchange for a guaranteed pardon. He went to Capitol Hill personally to deny it, but it stuck to him. Plus, he had a tendency to stumble in public. And when Saturday Night Live premiered the following year and Chevy Chase portrayed him tripping over his dog Liberty in the Oval Office, it didn't help. Eventually, his critics came around, but not in time for the 76 election. "The Constitution works," he said in that famous speech. "Our great republic is a government of laws, not of men." And now that we live in a 24/7 media culture where we know just about everything about every politician, let's just hope Gerald Ford was right. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging. And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Roy.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Have a home by the sea? I mean, is it right on the beach? That's Home by the Sea from Genesis. I'm Peter B. Collins. We're talking with Julia Whitty. She's written this powerful piece in Mother Jones magazine called The 13th Tipping Point about 12 global disasters and one powerful antidote. And we're going to identify those 12 tipping points in her 13th as we continue. But first, I want to take a call from George Ann in Phoenix. Thanks for calling, George Ann. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you. Yes, I am really concerned about global warming because it really covers humanity, period. That's it. Enough said about 9/11, and the truth of that is going to be coming out. But I'm really concerned about it because I think that the CO2 levels that have been discussed, like in Al Gore's movie, are wrong. I think they're higher. They will be higher, much, much higher. The Russian permafrost, which is approximately the size, probably about three Texases, is melting. That's got stored at least 1,000 CO2s. That's even higher than the United States and China's consumption in terms of what we're expelling.
Georgiana, 1,000, I'm not sure what you meant there. 1,000 what? What's the unit?
It's 1,000 times CO2 that we are really thinking is going to happen.
Okay, so a factor of 1,000.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the other thing that I wanted to also point out is that as far as Antarctica is concerned, my older sister has been to both McMurdo Station and the other one
That's okay. I don't know either.
South America.
Right. Uh-huh.
And when she was there, and she's been there over periods of years, the Larsen B shelf was also melting, and we have, it's just disintegrating down there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was actually taking photographs and saying, hey, it's 40 degrees out.
All right, let's get a comment from Julia.
Well, it's interesting that Georgianne brings up that two of those are actually two of our tipping points, and one of them is what's called methane class rates, and this is actually frozen methane deposits that are underneath the permafrost of Siberia and Alaska. They're also frozen below the ocean floor, and if they thaw and begin to release that methane, it actually eventually converts to carbon. But methane is also a very insidious greenhouse gas. In fact, in the short term, it's worse acting than carbon dioxide. dioxide, and we do not, once you start the melting of that permafrost, it's going to be very hard to turn it around. And in fact, the reports coming out of Siberia right now are that it's really starting to melt fairly rapidly. So a lot of methane is going to come out quickly, and that could also happen if the oceans warm up. We could have these huge burps of methane come up, and scientists have theorized that in the past, times when the oceans warmed and these giant glugs of methane came up from the ocean bottom may have triggered some of the mass extinctions that we know about, including one that was way worse than the one that killed off the dinosaurs. Our earlier caller talked about the fact that, well, the Earth has been through stuff. Well, does he know what happened when the Earth went through this stuff? I mean, the Permian-Triassic die-off, which was about 251 million years ago, predated the dinosaur die-off. 95% of all marine life died. End of story. 95% of all marine species died. About 75% of all life on the Earth died. The globe became a hot, dry, and iceless place, and it nearly wiped out all life on Earth. So the Earth is capable of doing this if you trigger enough tipping points. So the methane class rates are something that scientists are very concerned about. As to Antarctica, that's another really insidious tipping point. Until fairly recently, scientists thought that even though the Arctic was melting rapidly, that the mass of ice in the Antarctic was so enormous that it was going to kind of stay stable for a long time, and they're finding it absolutely isn't true. And in fact, there are a series of conditions which I describe in this article, The 13th Tipping Point. If anyone's interested, they can read more of the detail. But there's a lot of stuff going on down there climatically right now in Antarctica, and in fact, they're beginning to see serious thinning of the ice sheets. Your guest mentioned the Larsen B ice shelf that broke off. It had been in place for 10 or 12,000 years. The thing just suddenly is gone, and we're seeing more and more of that. And frankly, there have been few things that have come out in science in recent years where scientists have been so visibly startled by what's happening is how rapidly ice is melting and breaking up on both poles.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Georgianne, go ahead.
Yes, the other thing I wanted to also point out is just ice period, ice or snow levels period around the globe. It doesn't matter. You can even, you know, if you've traveled anywhere and you've looked at mountains and you go back 10 years later, you go, where's the snow level? It's disintegrating. And that to me is another indication for on land, just the watershed. You know, where are we going to get the water when there's no snow or glacier or ice that comes down from the mountains during the spring?
Right. Well, California is heavily dependent on the snowpack for a large portion of the water that we consume. Julia, is that a concern to you?
It is, if I can stop coughing. Can you cover me for just a second?
Sure, you go ahead. Cough it all right out there. Julia Whitty is coughing, and she is our guest here, a writer for Mother Jones Magazine. And the article we're talking about is in this brand-new issue, the November-December issue of Mother Jones with the well-dressed chimpanzee on the cover. All right, you feeling better, Julia?
Yeah, sorry about that. I have a terrible cold, so...
Oh, well, thanks for...
really battling it. Okay. Well, you know, that ice cover is indirectly another one of the tipping points. So, one that probably few of your listeners have ever heard of, the Tibetan Plateau, that high land in the high Himalayas. It's about 15,000 feet high or 14,000 feet high on average. It's snow-covered year-round, generally speaking. And, in fact, the global climate relies on that snow cover as like a huge mirror to reflect sunlight back into space. So it actually deflects a fair amount of warming sunlight that might come in and warm the Earth further by having this snow. But, in fact, global warming is causing these snows to melt. And as the snow goes away, you're left with these dark soils. Well, dark soils absorb sunlight. They warm up the planet even more. And this is another tipping point, which is directly connected to, believe it or not, ocean currents and the Asiatic monsoon. So all of these things tie in together, these huge climate levers that run our planet.
Very interesting. Georgianne, anything else you want to add?
Okay, well, one of the things that I did ask my sister, I said, well, where's a good place to live? And she said, well, not by any shoreline. You definitely want to be, you know, several hundred feet up sea level because it's obviously going to change.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, you want to be near a place where you can get water or have sustainable water. And, you know, so if we do not address this, you know, it's just, you know, inconceivable that we cannot see it. We cannot, you know, we have to address it.
Yeah.
It's just life on Earth as we know it,
well,
in our civilization. And as Julie had mentioned, we don't know how many civilizations before, you know, may have gone through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. We had better learn from it.
Well, Georgianne, you're very well informed. I appreciate a thoughtful call today.
Thank you. Thank
and, you know, when the beach is right there in Arizona, will you invite me over?
Well, actually, I live in California, so I'm visiting this sunshine state.
I see.
That is a little too hot for me.
All right, Georgianne, thanks for checking in today. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to talk with Julia Whitty. She's with us till the top of the hour, if her health holds. And, Julia, let's run down the other tipping points, because we've ticked off three of them so far. The Amazon rainforest. What are some of the interconnections there as warming changes the climate in that area?
Well, I'm sure most people know that the Amazon has been at threat from clear-cutting the forests, but climate change is actually forecast to turn what remaining forests are there anyway into savanna in the next 50 years. And within the forests of the Amazon, they sequester about as much CO2 as the entire world emissions in the 20th century. So if those forests go away, you're talking about potentially releasing as much as the entire 20th century's output of fossil fuel emissions. Obviously, we wouldn't want that to happen.
Yeah.
In terms of connectedness, one of the things oddly affecting the Amazon, or so it's believed, is the Sahara Desert, which is another tipping point. Now, we've heard about that the Sahara is growing, but in fact, along its southern border, global climate change is forecast to actually make the Sahara greener. It's going to green it up, and the diminution or the lessening of that Saharan dust that normally blows out into the Atlantic Ocean and blows out and, believe it or not, fertilizes the Amazon. So the Amazon, if the Sahara gets greener, the Amazon is going to get browner. That's the bottom line on that one. And, interestingly, if the Sahara gets greener and less of that dust is sent out into the Atlantic Ocean, it's actually believed that that dust in the atmosphere above the Atlantic helps forestall hurricane development in the Atlantic.
Really?
Interestingly. Mm-hmm. And so if that layer goes away because the Sahara becomes greener, then there's the potential for more or perhaps even bigger hurricanes. So all of these systems are very, very connected.
Mm-hmm. Next item is the North Atlantic Current.
Yeah, now this is an interesting one. Basically, oceanographers know that we don't have a bunch of separate oceans. We have one world ocean, and it's connected by what they call simplistically the ocean conveyor belt. And this, for instance, a drop of rain that falls in the North Atlantic circles around up into the Arctic and goes south and circles the Antarctic and emerges in the North Pacific 1,200 years later and eventually works its way back to the North Atlantic. So there's this huge, slow-moving series of rivers in the ocean that move at different depths, directions, and velocities, and they convey the waters of the world, and they connect all the waters of the world. We know at times in the past the ocean conveyor belt has broken down, and when that has happened, we've had monstrous and rapid climate change. And in fact, one of the things people fear most is that the breakdown of the North Atlantic Current, which is what feeds currently 500,000 power stations worth of warmth to Europe every year. And we know at times that has broken down. We have had the onset of ice ages, so that is a potential. At the very least, Europe would probably cool down rapidly, ironically, even in the midst of global warming. Europe itself might become much, much colder. So, and the bad news is some British researchers who've been looking, and believe me, these currents are being intensively studied right now, and some British teams who've been looking at these found, and I just learned this recently, very, very alarming news, that for 10 days in the year 2004, a critical element of that North Atlantic Current stopped running.
Really?
Yeah, that's really bad news.
Was it like a just a personal strike?
Well, I think we're seeing the beginning of illness. You know, we're seeing the stuttering, the stopping. They know that a year later their data revealed that another critical part of this North Atlantic Current had slowed by, they've revised their estimates. I originally wrote 30%, which is what they initially published, but I think they've revised to 10%. They've been following this current for 50 years it had been stable. And suddenly, one year, down by at least 10%, and the prior year stops for 10 days.
Wow.
So this is the beginning. You know, it's bad news.
Julia, we're going to take a break. You can clear your throat, and we'll return in just a moment. And if you'd like to talk with Julia Whitty, grab a line right now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the best of Peter B. Collins, pre-recorded. Happy holidays from all of us at the Peter B. Collins Show.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunetaRealEstate.com.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Let's take a drive home in and around the Monterey Bay Area. Not too many problems. This look is brought to you by Open from American Express. Open, how American Express serves small businesses. To learn more, visit open.com or simply call 1-800-NOW-OPEN. As far as the roads are concerned, in Boulder Creek, still dealing with a problem. Mitchell Drive, right at Highway 9, fallen power cables. So that's starting a fire. Apparently the fire crew has put that out, but still some slow traffic. And meanwhile, in Gilroy, Leavesley Road at New Avenue, a big rig still stuck in the mud there. That is blocking lanes of traffic. Slow traffic and still continues. You can't avoid it. Northbound 101. Slow in the Salinas area, especially right around the San Miguel Canyon turnoff. Also eastbound Highway 25. We're seeing very heavy now in pockets between Gilroy and on into Hollister. I'm Alex Daly, and that's traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I still am Peter B. Collins. We're talking with Julia Whitty. Her powerful article is in the current issue of Mother Jones magazine. You can also check it out online, motherjones.com. The article is entitled The 13th Tipping Point. We're joined now by Mike from Monterey. Hello, Mike. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. How are you doing?
Good.
I'm actually a graduate student in climatology, so I'm fairly well-versed. Not a bona fide doctorate degree or anything like that, but mm-hmm. I'm familiar with most of the scientific articles in the actual history. But one thing when you discuss this is, although I'm one of those that leans towards the whole aspect that global warming is happening and that it is a potential issue, we have to be careful with how far off we fly off the handle. Because one thing people don't really, if you don't mind me asking you guys a question, people, the first thing is a matter of, do you know how Greenland got its name?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, Greenland for 50. Go ahead, Julia.
Well, it used to be greener when the Vikings got there.
Exactly. and that most of the people think that it's due to propaganda or whatever, but what it actually was pre-1000 AD, all of Europe was a lot greater. In fact, most French lords would complain that the English wine was better than the French wine back then because the climate was actually more favorable for it. Now it's a little different, and we're actually coming out of a mini ice age. And so scientists actually, and most of them will admit, there's a lot of caveats that go along with this. Although there's, I would say there's more evidence of global warming out there than there was for weapons of mass destruction.
well, thank you. I'll accept that.
science is not a democracy. Even only one person, even though everybody else says they're wrong, could be right.
Well, I also think it's important, Mike, you know, not to have groupthink that leads people in the wrong direction. But I question your skepticism at this point, because what is there to be gained from doubting the climate change issues and delaying any moves to address the problems? We clearly are contributing to the emissions on the planet, and isn't it in our best interest in almost every respect to put ourselves on a carbon diet?
Well, that's a good point that you bring up, too, Peter, that regardless of whether you're totally sold on the issue or not, as an individual or a citizen, the question is, the thing is there's a lot of other benefits outside of global warming of cutting back on CO2 emissions.
Mm-hmm. Let's get a comment from Julia. Julia, go ahead.
Well, that's absolutely for sure. I mean, at any rate, we should cut back on them. But the truth is, if we continue to take the so-called cautious path of waiting for all the hard data to come in, it will be too late. And pretty much everyone, even science, recognizes that. So you have a case where you really do, you see the likelihood of this waterfall ahead, as I keep saying. You hear it, you smell it, you can see the moisture in the air, and you're in your canoe and you're headed downstream. So, yes. Now, here's where I have my beef with some people in the science community, and that is, you know, amongst yourselves, by all means, argue the fine points. But I think in order for you guys to come forward and educate both the media and the public, it's required that you come out and talk in a somewhat more black and white fashion than you're comfortable with in the science world, where a lot of gray matter exists, right? A lot of grayness is the norm. But in terms of dealing with public policy, and right now you guys are the oracles, right? And if you're not going to come out and address these things vehemently, we are going to be too far down that river to be able to stop ourselves from going over the waterfall.
And the corporate media will continue to try to be even-handed and enhance the credibility of crackpots who, you know, challenge the consensus about global warming while trivializing or at least minimizing or perhaps marginalizing that scientific consensus. We see it all the time where there'll be a new study on global warming and its impacts, and boom, you got to go to Exxon or you got to go to the White House or somebody else who isn't scientific but will offer a soundbite to balance, in the Fox News sense, the challenge or the critique that's been published by the science community. So that's one of the things that I see that needs fixing. Mike, thanks for your call today. Good to have you listening on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now to Spring, Texas, Teresa joins us. Hello, Teresa.
Hello. Mr. Collins, I wasn't going to call you, but I heard one of your callers talk about the difference between the lives lost in New Orleans or the Katrina Rita events and 9/11. And I must say that even till this day, the count of the number of bodies in New Orleans will never be known. It's hidden. And I personally still can't find 20 people in my family. Mm. But that's not my main issue, is that I can see that there are a lot of changes taking place. I'm 47 years old, and I've always had an interest in the weather because I love to travel. And, for instance, there's a hurricane, a late November hurricane. It's rare in the Pacific Ocean as we speak. And how about the tornadoes yesterday?
We had a tsunami hit Crescent City, California yesterday.
Those are perfect examples to me. And Mount St. Helens, I believe last month, was spewing ash, but it wasn't covered. I found it because I was up late at night searching the Internet. Mm. And there the story was, but it wasn't on any of the news stations. And then Yellowstone a few years ago had to be closed down because the streams and lakes were heating up so hot that they couldn't have people in the areas.
And Teresa, let me throw one more item into the Cuisinart here, and then we'll push the button and ask Julia to comment on it. I came across an item as I was cleaning my office over the weekend about how the first part of this year was the warmest on record. And that appears anecdotal at the moment, but when you put it together with the trend line information, we see this inching up every year. Julia?
Well, that's true. I actually think I quote that in this article. I don't remember if it was NASA or NOAA, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Association, that said that the first half of 2005, this came out in June or July, mm-hmm. is the hottest on record. Well, guess what? That follows 2004 and 2003 and 2002, and most of those were the hottest on record. And we keep piling up one on top of another, and yet that, the point I make in my article is that news was completely submerged by the Israeli Lebanese conflict that was underway at that
mm-hmm.
time.
Yeah.
So we ignore these really important stories that come out when we can't afford to.
Yeah. Teresa, thanks for a great call today. I appreciate it.
Okay. Bye.
Good to have you listening down there in Texas, and I hope you get back to New Orleans. I want to thank you, Julia, for joining us today and recommend your article. It is called The 13th Tipping Point. Find it in the new issue, the November-December issue of Mother Jones Magazine, and get more at motherjones.com. Julia, I hope you get better and go diving again soon.
Thanks, Peter. You too.
Pleasure talking with you.
Thanks a lot.
Summer night, staring at the sea. Tell me, is there something wrong? You can talk to me. I can hear it in your voice. I can see.
Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show.
Means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies lying before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You got to catapult the propaganda.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. We're learning more about the funeral plans for former President Gerald Ford. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman is in Rancho Mirage, California.
It will involve three locations, California, Washington, and Grand Rapids, Michigan, Mr. Ford's hometown. The first service will take place here at the Ford's local church on Friday. On Saturday, the body will be flown to Washington. There will be a state funeral in the Capitol. Mr. Ford's body will lie in state in the Rotunda. On Tuesday, another funeral service in Washington at the National Cathedral. Then the body will be taken to Grand Rapids. There will be a final service there on Wednesday. Then Mr. Ford will be laid to rest. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Rancho Mirage, California.
Former President Carter remembers Ford as a man who brought people together, pardoning Richard Nixon, for which CBS News correspondent Bob Schieffer tells us Mr. Ford never got a thank you.
President Ford told me that Mr. Nixon never mentioned it to him. And when I asked him, well, didn't he even say thank you? He said, nope, he never did. He said, but that's Nixon for you.
Ford died yesterday at the age of 93. Former Democratic vice presidential nominee John Edwards is running for president for a second time. He is expected to make a formal announcement tomorrow in New Orleans. Polar bears, nature's ultimate survivors, are under threat.
Bush administration wants strong protection for them, saying there's no match for global warming. Cassie Siegel is director of the climate program at the Center for Biological Diversity.
I think that this is the most important acknowledgement of global warming that we've had thus far from the Bush administration. And it's not possible to save polar bears without greatly reducing greenhouse gas pollution.
Polar bears are disappearing from the Arctic, where melting sea ice, pollution, and hunting have cut their numbers to about 25,000. Just a week after a blizzard, Colorado is bundling up for another storm system, which could bring more than a foot of snow and high winds expected to blow in tomorrow. The last storm stranded holiday travelers at Denver's International Airport. Post-holiday airfares are dropping dramatically. All of the big airlines are slashing fares on 14-day advance purchase tickets. In some cases, prices are 60% lower. The housing slump could be ending. New home sales rose in November.
This is excellent news. Housing has been a very heavy drag on the economy, and the only way to get it turned around is to get the sales stabilized and start to move up and then work down those inventories, and that seems to be in process.
Dave Siders of the National Association of Home Builders. And then there's the Dow. It set a new record today at 12,510. Analyst Neil Hokanson.
Late December is a time when a lot of portfolios are rejiggered. Forecasters come out with their next year forecasts, and people have a little extra holiday time to rethink their portfolios.
The Dow Jones Industrials up 102 points for the day. The NASDAQ Composite Index finished higher as well by 17 points to finish at 2,431. This is CBS News.
I need Cheerios and Listerine, Huggies, Pepsi, and Pantene, GE Lights and 409. If I spill, it's bounty time. Dollar General, that's the spot. Look at everything I got.
It's clearance days at Dollar General. Get 50% off already everyday low prices on all Christmas merchandise through January 15th. And 25% off all fall and winter clothing through January 22nd. See your circular for details. Save time, save money, every day.
Dollar General.
My husband had a health concern a month ago.
Mr. Thompson, everything looks good.
Oh, thanks, doctor.
It turned out to be nothing, but it got us doing more for our health.
And stretch and bend.
Like morning exercise and taking silver.
Centrum Silver Multivitamin is age-adjusted. It helps protect your health as you age with key antioxidants that help support natural cell repair. Centrum Silver Multivitamin.
Things have sure changed around here.
Our health protection starts with silver.
Take along with a healthy diet and exercise.
The Modesto, California house where Scott Peterson is believed to have killed his pregnant fiancée, Lacey, is on the market again. The realtor says the house is beautiful, but has a stigma. It may be as simple as better hygiene. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports that may seem like an easy answer to a very serious problem.
Hospital infections caused by catheters. They're widespread, dangerous, costly to the healthcare system. Now in the New England Journal of Medicine, Johns Hopkins researchers say they were able to completely eliminate these common infections in Michigan hospitals with some simple procedures.
None of the interventions involved expensive technology. I mean, they're all very practical and feasible.
More careful hand washing and catheter insertions, for instance, says lead researcher Dr. Peter Pronovost. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
How popular are iPods? So many online shoppers swamped the iTunes site today. It took 20 minutes or longer to download a single song. Apparently, the new visitors all armed with gift cards. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Hello, I'm George. Every year about this time, my wife gets concerned about my rowdy and crazy behavior. I can't help it. Happy Honda Days gets me all giggly and rambunctious. Hurry to your Honda dealer today and get an awesome deal on the 8-passenger Pilot, the ultra-functional Element, or the innovative Ridgeline. Yeah, baby. Happy Honda Days. It's going off, dude. Seriously.
Deck the halls with boughs of
Halsley. Ah, the sounds of TomTom portable navigation devices singing in sweet harmony. And now through the holiday season, if you buy any TomTom, you get $100 off.
$100 off.
It's the TomTom Give event. You give a TomTom, we give you $100 off any model at any retailer. So give the best portable everyday GPS solution. Heck, give two. TomTom, find your way the easy way.
$100 off.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. And joining us this hour is editor and opinion writer Tom Engelhart. His collection of interviews is out with George W. Bush on the cover, and it's called Mission Unaccomplished. In May of 2003, they turned that aircraft carrier around for the photo op of all time. And W flew in with that codpiece in his flight suit, stalked across the carrier deck, shaking hands, slapping high fives, and posing for cover stories that never came. Tom Engelhardt, thanks for returning to the Peter B. Collins Show today. Tom? Hello, Tom. I'm looking for you here. Matt, I think we're going to have to dial him back because I don't have anybody on line one there. Anyway, the new book is a fascinating collection of interviews that Tom Engelhardt conducted. And he runs the website TomDispatch.com, affiliated with the Nation Institute, which is part of the Nation magazine. And Mission Unaccomplished is a series of interviews with some of the dissenters, some of the iconoclasts who have surfaced since Bush launched this misguided war on Iraq. People like Howard Zinn, James Carroll, Cindy Sheehan, Anne Wright, whom I met this summer in Washington and again at Camp Democracy in September. She served in our military and then in our foreign service and resigned to express her own disgust with the Bush administration. Mark Danner, a great reporter. Chalmers Johnson, a former military man, a Cold Warrior. Katrina Vandenhoevel of The Nation. And several others, including Barbara Ehrenreich. Tom, do we have you now?
You have me. I don't know what happened.
Oh, well, it must have been the NSA checking in on
it. I think it was.
I have a personal minder over there named Benny. At least we think so.
Well, I heard you mention Anne Wright, who I love. She was a great experience for me.
So. Yeah, she's a very interesting woman. She gave me a business card with a phone number in Hawaii, and she said, "Don't worry, that's my cell phone. I haven't been there in years."
Right. You know, she's actually a gal from Arkansas to begin with, and a retired colonel. She was one of the three diplomats who resigned in protest as the invasion of Iraq was about to begin. And I think for me she represents something very interesting, that when the founding fathers created this country, they created it, as we all know from high school civics, they created a system of checks and balances, and the checks and balances obviously for most of the last few years didn't work. But she represents what I consider the check and balance they never thought of, because they have never imagined a government like this. And that was the check and balance of people, hard-working officials, bureaucrats, scientists within the government who couldn't stand what was happening and decided to protest, to leak, to fight back. Some of them got pushed out. I consider them like the fourth check and balance of our world, and I find her very fascinating that way. So.
Well, and Anne Wright answered the call actually before Daniel Ellsberg issued it in Harper's Magazine last month.
Yes.
For some principled members of this administration to risk their futures and rescue our country by coming forward with some of the secret plans that we thought would have led to an attack on Iran even by now.
That's right. That's right. And maybe later we'll get into Gates and Iran, because I think the news on Iran, unlike most other things, is reasonably good at this point. When Anne Wright appeared at my door, I'm a very cheap interviewer. I only interview people who are in close proximity. I don't have the money to get on a plane and go looking and so on and so forth. And she appeared at my door, and she was wearing, instead of bracelets, she was wearing two bands that represented the police had put on her when she was arrested twice. And she said to me, I'm a felon for peace.
Yeah. She's a really striking individual and a very strong but not strident voice.
Absolutely. And as like a number of people who have been in the military and have ended up taking journeys out of the world of this this administration just out of principle. Another one who I interviewed was Andrew Bacevich,
mm-hmm.
who had been he had fought in Vietnam. He had been a self-professed Cold Warrior. I suppose he was even close to being a kind of a neocon, and he took an odd journey in the 1990s out of that whole world when he noticed that the people who he thought were his allies had fallen in love with the military. He was a military man, but he wasn't a lover of the military. And all these neocons had been dazzled by American military power, and this is what they wanted to apply in the world. And he was horrified by this, and he took this journey, which led him. He's a historian and one of the most open-minded historians I know. He remains a conservative, but he took this journey, a journey in which he discovered that the United States, in his mind, was an empire. This was something he really hadn't known before. And from that, he began reconsidering his own history and the history of the Cold War, the history of the Vietnam War. And he's written a series of books, including a book on militarism called The New American Militarism, which are striking documents of our time. And he was very interesting to interview because, you know, it's very rare in life, no less, in interviewing people, to meet someone who really stops to think. And there were a couple of moments. Most of the time I asked him questions he had answers to. There were a couple of moments when I asked him questions to which he didn't have obvious answers. And sitting there, I could see him actually stop and think over, not try and offer me an answer, but actually think over, well, what? Something new. And when you see someone open to the new, it's always impressive. So he was a very impressive man. And he's been a very impressive voice from the kind of conservative side of the aisle. And, mm-hmm. and this book, it's kind of a big tent book in that way. So
well, and let's talk a little bit about you, Tom Engelhardt,
yeah.
because you submitted to an interview that is the last chapter of the book. Nick Turse, your colleague, conducted
right.
it.
Right.
And talk about your own attitudes toward empire and how it shaped your launch of Tom Dispatch and a lot of the work that you've done in the last few years.
Well, you know, I mean, Tom Dispatch, I'm a 62-year-old guy. At the moment of September 11th, I emailed, but I basically knew very little about the online world. I don't think I even really realized you could read papers or newspapers online or anything else. And I had a very odd reaction to September 11th, which, given the fact that I'm supposed to be a reasonably sophisticated person, was rather naive, which was I thought when it happened, I thought, this might open us up to the world in some way. I was horrified. I was in New York, and this was a horrifying event, you know, and we could smell very quickly the smell of 9/11 and so on. But I also thought this might be an opening for us to the world, to what goes on in the rest of the world, what other people live with, and so on and so forth. And, of course, a few months later, when we were in those constant imperial rites, which declared us to be the greatest survivor, the greatest victim, and the greatest dominator, and the only role left to anybody in the world was greatest evil one, I had kind of had it. And I really started Tom Dispatch as a little E-list. I just started sending. I sent to about, you know, three relatives and five friends, and I started. It became a little obsession. I started just sending articles, voices from elsewhere, I used to call them, and that articles that you just couldn't read here that I found online. And sooner or later, people started jumping on. Journalists started writing and saying, hey, will you send this to me, too? And all of a sudden, I had this enormous E-list, and then one day, a guy from the Nation Institute, Ham Fish, who's a mm-hmm. wonderful guy,
yeah, I've met him.
Said, hey, how about if we put this up online? I said, okay. And so Tom Dispatch was this weird happenstance, but it has always been focused, I think from childhood. I was a real American kid, but I would say this is where I connect with Bacevich and Anne Wright and so on and so forth, is that in many ways I see Tom Dispatch, including the interviews I did in the book, as a kind of citizenly duty. And at my core, I don't know why, from childhood, you know, there was something, I wouldn't have called it anti-imperial then, there was something in me that just, maybe it was just very American, that didn't like the imperial,
mm-hmm.
didn't like the large and imperial, and it's still with me. It's what it is in a way the politics of Tom Dispatch, which is, and that's why at Tom Dispatch you can find people from the right as well as the left, and why like libertarian sites like to pick up Tom Dispatch, because we agree on the anti-imperial. We agree on what we've lost in our world, which are, you know, certain right, you know, civil rights and so on and so forth. That's what scares us, and that's what we don't like. And so as a kind of historian, before that, I was also an editor, a book editor, but I had written a book of history about the Cold War. I also had a very strong sense that about half of 20th century history was about the inability of large imperial powers to occupy smaller, weaker countries as they had done in the 19th and 18th century, successfully. The power of national sovereignty. So long before we went into Iraq, when I saw the invasion coming, I knew, listen, there are lots of things I'm not very predictive on. I'm not very good on predicting elections and so on and so forth. On this, I knew. I knew from the beginning, long before the invasion, well before the invasion, I knew that we could not occupy. It was clear to me that the Bush people had imperial dreams of the largest sort, and that they were ready to occupy Iraq. And it was just going to be the first stop. They were going to leave it to their Iraqi cohorts to rule, and they were going to move on. They were going to knock off Syria, Iran, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But I knew that this was inconceivable. And it's the one thing I've written constantly about. It's the one thing I've been, from the beginning, I've been absolutely on target on.
We're going to take a quick break and return. Tom Engelhardt with us. He's the proprietor of TomDispatch.com and the author of this book of interviews, Mission Unaccomplished. It's out in softcover from Nation Books. We'll continue in just a moment. Join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And I'm still Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the best of Peter B. Collins, pre-recorded. Happy holidays from all of us at
the days of wine and roses.
The fastest growing disease in America is addiction. It's time we talk about it openly. This is Sheila Gale. Join me Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5 for 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addiction. It's about time.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches,
and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Let's take a look at that drive home in and around the Monterey Bay area. It's brought to you this time around by Mattress Discounters. Hurry into Mattress Discounters today during their year-end clearance event and save 20 to 50% off select clearance mattress sets while the supplies last, of course. Plus, on approved credit, you can get free financing for 12 months. Mattress Discounters. On the roadway, still dealing with this problem in Boulder Creek, Mitchell Drive at Highway 9, fallen power cables that started a fire. Now the fire is out, but still some slow traffic. Meanwhile, on Morgan Hill, Dunn Avenue, at Finley Ridge Road, an accident here, solo vehicle spin out. Santa Cruz now, northbound 1, just after Morrissey Boulevard, a wreck with two vehicles finally cleared to the right-hand shoulder. Not very bad today as far as slow traffic is concerned. Many people still off for vacation. A few more cars you will see still southbound along Highway 1 between Monterey and Carmel. Also, both sides of 156 still a little slow between Castroville and San Juan Bautista. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
I'm Mike, that's traffic on KRXA.
Listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Peter B. Collins, we continue our conversation with Tom Engelhardt, and he takes pains to say that he's not a journalist. He's an editor and an opinion guy, and he operates TomDispatch.com, and he wrote this book, which is a compilation of interviews he's done called Mission Unaccomplished, and it's out in softcover from Nation Books. A couple of the people in here really fascinate me, and I've had the opportunity to talk with them here on the radio program, Tom. And one is James Carroll, the Boston-based writer. And he is a moralist, in my view, in the correct sense of that term, is that he's a man who is informed and imbued with a deep sense of morality. And when he has used his voice to criticize the Bush administration and this war, it comes across with, shall we say, much greater depth than a chorus of evangelical Christians.
I agree. In fact, I would use that that very word, moral. I mean, that's actually the kind of man he is. I mean, in the best possible sense of the word, he is a moralist. And what that led him to do, what impressed me before I even got to interview him, because I've got kind of a prior, with a number of these people, I have a kind of prior history, a publishing history, because mm-hmm. in what passes at least for real life, although Tom Dispatch's the adventure of my later life, I've been a book editor in mainstream book publishing for 30 years, and I loved his columns. I had a friend who knew him. I got in touch with him as soon as September 11th happened, more or less. Very soon afterwards, he began writing columns he writes a column in the Boston Globe, and he began writing columns that were so radical for the moment that I think I think it was really problematic for him, because mm-hmm. he began saying that the kind that taking a hammer, as he said at one point, to hit a mosquito is bound to be a catastrophe, and that's what he saw that the Bush administration was about to do. And he, you know, very early on, that voice, there were just a few voices, there were a few people who felt that the Bush administration was going in the wrong direction, who didn't at that moment, when everybody else seemed to feel something else, didn't run. And he didn't. Another one who I also have dealt with over the years is Jonathan Schell.
Mm-hmm.
Just a good, solid liberal, but he just never changed his positions.
Just to be fair, you've edited for both Orville and Jonathan.
I've done both brothers, right.
And
right.
They are singular in their voices, but they do have, I think, a real common thread of decency and a commitment to the American Constitution.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And Carroll, I actually published, those essays so impressed me, those columns, that I actually published them in a book series that I created, run, and edit called the American Empire series, the American Empire Project. And that's what first, he was one of my first two interviews. The other was Howard Zinn, and I just happened to be close by. It was a summer, it was the summer of 2005. And to give you a little prior history, I probably my inspiration for all this is late in life, late in Studs Terkel's publishing life, I became his editor. I had worked at Pantheon Books for years, and my boss at Pantheon had edited all his books, and I had used to be called in as kind of the second team on his books. I'd take a last look at them or something. And his most recent, not the most recent one, but the previous two, I did edit. And I've always found him an inspiration as an interviewer. And so one day I thought I had these guys, Howard Zinn, who I had the urge to talk to, and Carol. I was curious. I'd never really interviewed somebody, not for publication. And I bought two of the cheapest tape recorders around because I was afraid that one of them might break. And I just thought, I'll just try it. Because that's been my general attitude about almost anything. And I sat down, I just thought, can I have a real conversation with these people, a two-sided conversation, and can I bring out something fresh in their thoughts, since these are people who have written widely? And I think on that I was successful, and it was fascinating for me. So
I'll tell you a quick Studs Terkel story. I was a 21-year-old radio talk show host in Chicago, and I revered Studs Terkel. He was on the classical station there and had a real freewheeling interview show there every day. And I got to meet him because I was about to interview an author, and she decided that she thought I was a little bit flaky or strange, or could be. And so she persuaded Studs Terkel to escort her to the interview with me at this FM rock station. And it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I was on late at night to preserve the decency of the community. And here comes, you know, a man who I never expected to meet. I had listened to him on the radio for years. And he came in and he looked at me and he said, "Now you're going to be nice to her, aren't you?"
That's him. You know, we used to get messages on our phone machine from him when I was working on his books. And my wife always used to say, "You've got to keep those messages because his is the last voice out of which a cigar comes."
Mm.
You know, he sounds directly off the waterfront. You know, "Hey, Tom, you know, that work is a nonpareil." You know, and it's just, you know, unfortunately I don't have them, but he's such a character.
So, he truly is.
Anyway, he was my inspiration. I had edited his interviews over the years. I had seen them. I thought, well, you know, I'm not going to be Studs Terkel, but let me just go out and try.
Well, you did a good job. We're going to pick up there as we continue with Tom Engelhardt. And we're going to widen out to some other issues in the news right now. So if you'd like to join us with a question or comment, get on the line now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey. Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
You got cooking. How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
The holiday season is here again, and what perfect time to take advantage of the great selection and low prices of the finest used cars in the county. At ZNS Auto Dealership in Monterey, they have been partners for over 30 years. Located at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard, ZNS wants to be your partner in choosing that right car for you or your loved one. ZNS has it, whether it's a truck, SUV, minivan, compact, or luxury automobile. Open every day on Del Monte Boulevard, Monterey. ZNS Auto, where partnership works.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and native healer Cloud Pyler for an hour of Native Health Radio and discover how sacred medicine can save modern life. Honest, direct, funny, informative, it's programming that makes you think. Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on KRXA 540 a.m.
We've got what you're looking for. Sundays, 3 to 5, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar.
Allen Show.
There's this great Popeye cartoon where he gets inside a Bluto's shirt and he's popping out of his sleeves going, here I am, over here, you. And Bluto is confused. He's going,
hey, where'd you, why you,
and he's trying to beat up Popeye, and he ends up pummeling himself, and that is the war on terror, that is the war on terror, it's the war on terror. There's this old joke where a guy is walking home late at night. He's another guy under a streetlight, searching frantically in the gutter. He says, hey man, what did you lose? The guy says, I dropped my keys about 6 blocks away. Why aren't you looking over there? The guy says, the light's better over here. And that is the war on terror. That is the war on terror. Yeah, that's the war on terror. Is the war on terror.
That's politically infused rock and roll, fresh off, just came in the mail yesterday. Roy Zimmerman is the artist, and that song is called That Is the War on Terror. And the new CD is called Faulty Intelligence. I really like this guy, and he's going to come on the show later this week.
That is great, Peter.
Isn't that an interesting song?
Yeah, I buy it.
And the joke about dropping my keys 6 blocks away, what are you looking here for? So try to put this into a little context for us, Tom Engelhart. Last week, the Democrats took control of the House, and then a day later they learned that they got squeaking control of the Senate. And a faux conciliatory President Bush has talked about bipartisanship, and he surprised me with the announcement of the Rumsfeld sacking. He terminated him. And so we now have a new guy who's a lot like Rumsfeld, only different. comes out of really the same milieu. And his biggest single qualification for this is that he cooked intelligence during the 80s and then again in the 90s when he was George Bush Sr.'s director of Central Intelligence. So what are we getting out of this shuffle?
Well, we are going to get one thing, but let me back. You know, I was thinking today, the fellow who was the head of the Arab League back in September 2002 warned that if we invaded Iraq, we would open, the Bush administration would open the gates of hell in the Middle East. And I think that obviously, at least in Iraq, has proved true. Now, the people who opened those gates were the vice president, Rumsfeld, and the neocons. And now the truth is we're at a real moment of flux, and they are being ushered out the door. And the people who are coming in are daddy's boys. Now, there's a long history with George Bush of failure, repeated failures, and being pulled out, picked up, and put back together by daddy's boys.
Are you talking about Harkin Energy?
Yes, and baseball, and a variety of other things, yeah. And I think it's clear right now that daddy's boys have walked through the door. James Baker, who's the family consigliere, has set up almost a separate government. Off to the side of the government, he's his guy, Gates, who was holding down the Bush Library at Texas A&M, is now the Secretary of Defense and
designate
right. And there's a right, but he will be, I guarantee you. And there's you know, I think there's a lot of anticipation right now about what's going to happen with Iraq, and I think the answer on that is in the immediate future probably very little. But where there is good news, and I believe there actually is in a place nobody's looking right now, which is Iran, because the we know that the Bush administration was willing to take unbelievably rash acts, to throw the dice no matter what the consequences. And they were clearly preparing to whack Iran from the air, to knock its nuclear facilities, but also to try and decapitate the regime. That's the phrase that's used. And I think this, that now Gates is of a different type. In 2004, he, with former National Security Advisor for Jimmy Carter, Brzezinski, co-headed a task force on Iran and called for the opening of negotiations with Iran. So
right.
He, like Baker, has been in favor of this. In addition, you have a Congress less likely to put up the money for such a war, which is obviously good news. And
pardon me, Tom, but they have floated an item that the next supplemental for the remainder of 2007 is going to be $160 billion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right now one of the ironies of our world is that the Defense Department, the Pentagon, doesn't fight a war on its budget, which is almost $500 billion. Instead, it fights its wars on these emergency supplemental budgets that are put through Congress. So in essence,
Tom, that's the brilliance of Enron accounting.
It is. Yeah, but this is open. Enron at least, you know, did it secretly. This is right out. Every American can see it.
Well, I hope that this is one of the markers that the new Democratic majority will call in. And that is that if Bush wants money for Iraq and Afghanistan, it's got to be in the Defense Department budget.
Yeah. This would be interesting if they tried to do that, because then you would suddenly have a Pentagon budget that was so enormous, it would be shocking.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tom, I want to take you back here to last week. We were talking about this earlier on the program today, and a woman has emailed from Phoenix. She says, I've noticed everybody's focusing on the president's confession that he lied when he said the week before the election that Rummy and Cheney would stay with him as long as he's in office. However, she writes, isn't it possible that this is not the real lie? Is it possible that the real lie is that he's lying about the lie he told? Now, follow me. I know that the big, actual, huge news that I was reading the day after he professed his undying devotion to Rumsfeld and Cheney was the fact that the Army Times, Navy Times, Marine Corps Times, and Air Force Times announced that they would all be running an editorial calling for the ouster of Rumsfeld. Their announcement started being reported on Thursday afternoon. I believe that had that announcement not been made and had the Democrats not won the majority and immediately promised a return to oversight, that Rumsfeld would still be in office.
I think the answer is Rumsfeld would still be in office now, but I think he would have been going. I honestly speaking, Baker, James A. Baker, who's the president's right hand, the former President Bush's right hand man, took over this Iraq study group. He agreed to do it, and I think he's such a hard nosed guy. I don't think he would have ever agreed, retrospectively, thinking about this, I don't think he ever would have agreed to do it if he had felt that Rumsfeld would still be sitting there ready to shoot down whatever suggestions he made.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why these they've taken so long. I mean, Iraq's a crisis. You would think the Iraq study group would have gotten together and in a month they would have come up with something or other. Instead, they've taken months. I think that these months were meant to be a waiting period until he could get somebody he could really suggest things to into the Defense Department. So that, I don't think she's wrong. I don't think Rumsfeld would have gone quickly, but I think he would have been gone relatively quickly under any circumstances. That's just my thought on this.
Now to James in Phoenix. James, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Tom Englehart.
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, quick question. Big hoopla about the Dems winning and them getting in their first 100 days or so attacking minimum wage and getting that settled.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to try to scale back the Patriot Act? And if they do or don't, what do you think the ramifications will be either way?
I would like to see the Democrats work on the Patriot Act, but I don't think there are many Democrats who are committed to that. What I think the first issue on our constitutional rights front should be is repeal of what I call the Stalin Act, the Military Commissions Act.
Right. Well,
and they need to pull that back. They need to reformulate it so that it's consistent with the Geneva Conventions. They have to remove the amnesty provisions for those who have committed torture or authorized or condoned it to date. And they need to reincorporate habeas corpus. And to me, that is step one. I certainly share your concern about some elements of the Patriot Act, and it's a stinky bill that lays the groundwork for fascism. But candidly, I don't see that the Democrats have the cojones to take it on. Tom?
I completely agree. Carl Levin, I believe, has been talking about doing something about the habeas corpus.
Leahy.
I'm sorry, you're right. Leahy.
Yeah, Leahy has talked about it, and I give him credit for that.
Yeah, I do. I do too. And I hate to say it, but I think one of the things that truly worries me is I often, when I'm writing at TomDispatch.com, I often tell people, well, look at don't look at what people are writing about politics in Washington. Look at the facts on the ground. And if you look at the facts on the ground, I mean, you know, take the fact that we now have two defense departments, the Homeland Security Department. What is it but a Defense Department. It's a huge and efficient another huge and efficient expensive bureaucracy. Will we ever not see that again in our lifetimes? I don't think so, because there now is a $60 billion business, security business, that's formed around the Homeland Security Department. So it's a fact on the ground. And I think to some extent the Patriot Act has become a kind of fact on the ground. I mean, people might fiddle with it a little bit. Will we live without a Patriot Act? I think you're right. I don't think that even a Democratic president and a Democratic Congress could totally roll back what's happened in the last few years. That's just my...
What do you think, Peter, if they're not going to roll that back, how as Democrats and progressives, should we take that?
Well, I think that we have to be prudent and take what we can get, and also demand more than we're being offered. And that's why I feel that we need to keep our powder dry at the moment. Let's keep in mind that Nancy Pelosi has not been sworn in as Speaker, and that some of what's going on, some of the angling and the messaging, is, in my view, premature. I, as you know, support the concept of impeachment. But I think that progressives are banging their frying pans a little bit loudly right now, before Pelosi has even, you know, gotten the drapes installed and gotten into that office. So I think that we should have a little patience here. Bill Maher ran a spoof commercial at the beginning of his show on Friday night on HBO, where it was from the point of view of a Republican attack ad, and it said the Democrats, they've had 3 days. And they haven't done a damn thing. And I do think that we should have a little bit of patience here, which is not to say that we should swallow everything that they try to feed us. Tom, your thoughts?
Yeah, the one thing I do think is I think that this election has opened some space for other voices. I mean, it's clear at this point that on Iraq, for instance, you're completely right. Right now, what's going to happen has to be minimal because the Democrats could just block a few things in Congress. But I think there's an opening when the Democratic Congress comes in for a peace movement or whatever on the Iraq war to exert a great deal more pressure for us to actually get out of Iraq. And I think what's going to happen in Iraq is going to make it it's going to be catastrophic, and it's going to make it far easier for us to do so because the kinds of plans that the Iraq study group is talking about really are, I lived through the Vietnam era, and in all those years, there were what I used to call non-withdrawal plans. All these plans that were claimed, we're now talking about redeployment. They were redeployment plans in which there was no actual intent to truly get out. And most of the plans being discussed right now are very much along those lines.
We're talking with Tom Englehart. He does TomDispatch.com, and his new book is out in softcover and a recommended read. It's a collection of interviews with important progressive thinkers and dissenters. It's called Mission Unaccomplished from Nation Books. We're going to take a quick break and return. You want to join us? Grab a line, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372 on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the best of Peter B. Collins, pre-recorded. Happy holidays from all of us at the Peter B.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a vibe of galusha. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Let's take a look at that drive home in and around the Monterey Bay area. A few problems. Let's start actually with this traffic brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation. Can't forget that. All across America, cops are cracking down like never before. If you drink and drive, it's more likely than ever you'll get caught and you will be arrested. Drunk driving over the limit, under arrest. Well, it doesn't seem to be our problem on the roadways today. High wind causing a lot of problems. Still a crash in Boulder Creek, Mitchell Drive, right at Highway 9. Fallen power cables thanks to the weather. And apparently that did start a fire. That fire is out now. Meanwhile, in Morgan Hill, Dunn Avenue at Findlay Ridge Road, a crash here with a solo vehicle involved. Also in Salinas now, this is a new crash. Blanco Road at Cooper Road. Solo vehicle here went off the roadway as well. And Ben Lomond now, Highway 9 at Glen Arbor Road. Traffic lights are not working, so treat the intersection as a four-way stop. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Our guest is Tom Engelhart. Visit his website, Tom Dispatch.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are, right now, Rumsfeld, of course, he's gone now, but his last figure was that there were 55 American bases of every size in Iraq. But the big ones, there probably aren't, there probably maybe six. I mean, when you're talking about bases the size of American towns with multiple bus routes, with mm-hmm. PXs, with Burger Kings and mini golf courses. Yes, I mean, this is, they're not called permanent bases. At one point they were calling them enduring camps, which
right.
sound kind of charming, but they represent a kind of a permanency that's going to make it hard for us to get out of Iraq, as mm-hmm. will the new billion-dollar embassy that we're building in the middle of the green zone in Baghdad, which has its own anti-missile system.
And, Tom, the bases fly directly in contradiction with legislation from the House and Senate that says there shall be no permanent bases.
Well, there are no permanent bases because they don't call them permanent bases.
Oh, it's that language thing.
It's all language. You know, the Bush administration, I like to say that we've never had an administration in history that reached faster for their dictionaries, which is really true. They spent an enormous amount of time trying to redefine words like torture out of existence.
Right. One other item, and then we got a couple of callers who want to talk with you, Tom. Jack Murtha has been a powerful voice in trying to change the policy related to Iraq. He is running for the number two House post under the new Democratic leadership, but he is tainted by serious ethical problems. His brother has received great benefits through earmarks that the congressman has authored, and he seems oblivious to the concerns about the old boy pork barrel style politics that got his neighbor Kurt Weldon bounced out just last week. What's your take on a Murtha majority leader? Is that good for the Democrats, or is he going to be a target on corruption issues?
You know, actually, I don't know. I mean, he's an interesting guy, because the other probably larger thing you can say about him is, until he was shocked, he's an ex-Marine, he spent a lot of time in hospitals, and he clearly was moved by what was happening, you know, to Americans without much notice in Iraq, and that did move him to change and act, and that's impressive in any human being. On the other hand, he was a man who never saw a weapon system that he didn't want to buy for the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, earmarks went with it, of course, because that's the system. But I'm not honestly, beyond that, I'm not honestly sure of the two guys. I don't know what to think myself. I think my answer might be that I consider Iraq such a crucial question, and I consider his position to be about the best among any of the major Democrats,
mm-hmm.
that I think I would prefer to take my chances with him, because I think if this administration is not finally pushed to actually decide they're going to leave those bases, they're going to leave Iraqi oil, and they're actually going to leave the country,
mm-hmm.
I think it's hopeless for the Iraqis, it's hopeless for us, and it will be an unbelievable roiling catastrophe, and sooner or later it will really hit the global economy. So
let's go to Barbara in Cave Creek. Thanks for calling. You're on the air, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. Go ahead.
Well, I just noticed something. I have 2 points I wanted to make, that most of the wars between Israel and the Arabs happened during Republican administrations, other than the Six-Day War. Everything else is 56, 70, 73, and 82. And it just seems that they don't seem to do anything about creating peace at those time periods. I mean, I just noticed that.
Well, that's an interesting analysis, Barbara.
It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, the Six-Day War, but it took 6 days. The other thing that I also find, that I'm 53 years old, and I remember the gas crisis in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
under Nixon, and everybody standing in lines. And then I remember in 1980, the Iranians captured, they took prisoners in the embassy. And then in the 80s, for some reason, we are now selling weapons to this enemy to fight Iraq, and these are the same boys who worked for Nixon, who worked for Reagan, who worked for Bush, who probably are keeping their secrets amongst themselves by appointing somebody like Gates.
Mm-hmm.
And it just smells of backdoor dealings.
You're right.
Now
Gates had to be a party to the tilt toward Iraq in the 1980s.
But what scares me is that they seem to make Iran safe for, I mean Iraq, excuse me, safe for the Iranians. And I've said this since the day we walked in. They're clearing the field so Iran can take over Iraq.
Parts of Iraq. No, absolutely. You're quite right. I mean, they've done everything that they claimed they weren't doing. I mean, it's a great irony of these.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's an irony. I think it's just. I mean, let's like open our eyes and see. And they're making sure that they're poking all of Israel's enemies instead of creating any kind of peaceful. Yeah, I mean, Golda Meir used to dress up like an Arab man. And they used to take her across the border to Jordan to have peace negotiations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Barbara, I'm tight for time, but I appreciate your thoughtful call today. Now we go to Joe in Phoenix. Hi, Joe. You're on the air.
Thank you. Interesting conversation, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
First of all, Peter, I agree with you 1,000% on that Stalinist act, as you put it. That just really goes to the core of our civil and constitutional rights. By the way, I've been an attorney for 35 years, don't hold that against me, primarily in criminal law.
Mm-hmm.
And as a reserve officer, I retired as a JAG colonel, so I understand military law. And I'm just outraged the way this administration has played games with wordsmithing and the idea of torture. I would never believe in my lifetime that I would see the President of the United States stand up and be advocating to Congress all the reasons why he should be able to have torture and be exempt from any prosecution for it.
Amen, Joe. It was such a sordid sight to see John McCain trying to negotiate with these guys over torture and getting skunked in the process, and he won't even admit it. He turned around and voted for the MCA. Go ahead, Tom.
You know, I was just going to say that one curious thing about the president's post-election good news, bipartisan, you know, good-feeling press conference that nobody noticed. I wrote about it at the Nation website today. He had a line where he basically swore fealty to torture.
Mm-hmm.
It was euphemistic. He said where in the end he disagreed with the Democrats was that he felt, unlike them, that we had to give the tools to the professionals. And this is just a euphemism for torture and, of course, the NSA wiretap.
Tom Engelhardt, thank you very much. The book is Mission Unaccomplished. I'm Peter.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had.